The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Stand up, all fat men, stand up straight. Stand up because no chair can hold your weight.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, you know, I took this test, and it sort of turns out that I'm technically mentally retarded.
I can't hear you. You'll have to speak into the microphone.
Paul Perillo.
No, don't do that. Don't try to turn my words on me. You know what? You can just go to hell. We're like, yeah. Like that.
You can't hit me. I'm a girl.
And Andy. And Andy?
I don't care. I don't give it. I'm all worked up right now, so we have to do it. Just do it, okay?
Andy Hart.
Let's corner the nerds and call them gay and make them show us their penises.
Won't that be gay of them?
Eric Scalavino.
That's the most idiotic thing I've ever heard. You're a moron. A pretentious moron. And you know what? Take that sweater off. Makes you look queer.
For now, anyway.
You think I cared about you? No. You're just smart enough and you're just clever enough to occasionally amuse me.
PFW in Progress.
Tell me what it was like being one of them.
It was like basking in the warm glow of a higher intelligence as it envelops you and allows you to become part of its everlasting glory.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. If you didn't know that the AFC Championship was this Sunday, you do now. I'm telling you, this place is rocking. Gillette Stadium is full of media. Not just the local guys now, it's national time. If you're on Patriots.com and you're watching any of the live press conferences, you see a new background. The league has taken over, as they do whenever it's time for the AFC or NFC championship. So it's a different feeling than it usually is here at Gillette Stadium. It's exciting. I mean, you know, how could you not be excited? You got the Ravens coming in on Sunday. It's going to be a great game. I don't think you can go into this game feeling as confident as you did last week. The Ravens certainly know this team. Last time they played last year, went to overtime. Patriots squeaked out a 23-20 win. But that, you know, and most of the guys that were on that team for the Ravens are still there. So it is a little bit of an indication of how things might go this year. I just can't wait. I just cannot wait. I'm so excited. Oh, I got to calm down, especially after yesterday. Andy almost had an aneurysm, an Andy-urism, we'll call it. Apologize for that, but we'll be better today, I promise. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. Emails are already coming in. Phone calls are already coming in. Just to kind of give you a little bit of a scene setter for what's going on here. Usually on Wednesday, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady come to the podium. But today, there has been a steady stream of players that the Patriots are bringing to the podium. Same thing is going on in Baltimore. John Harbaugh, Joe Flacco, Ray Lewis, Ray Rice, Terrell Suggs will all be coming to the podium in Baltimore. And that stuff can all be seen live on the NFL Network. And all the Patriots stuff, of course, could have been seen live on Patriots.com and all the on-demand stuff. So really, really good. Yesterday was interesting. If you haven't checked it out, the Patriots cheerleaders webpage was named the number one webpage by Darren Revelle, who is a very influential tweeter and columnist. Tweets about everything media-wise in sports, and so that was pretty cool. And one of the main reasons he said it was because of this Cheer 365 game that we have. So if you haven't already, check it out. You can rate which cheerleader is hotter than the other. It's, you know, one of those mindless little games that you start playing and you just can't stop. So that happened during the show yesterday. We didn't get to it because of everything that was going on. I just wanted to throw that out here. Andy's walking in right now, in case you're wondering why it was just me talking for the last 5 minutes. He just came from the locker room. Paul is on his way. He had jury duty this morning, and I'm waiting to hear reports of him getting into a fight with the female judge. I haven't heard that yet, but he is on his way, so any minute now he'll be walking in. Andy, what's going on?
Busy. Busy day here.
I'm just filling people in.
I'm sure some of the fans watched the podium press conferences that were on NFL Network and, you know, that whole league crew here organizing everything. But a busy locker room, really extended sessions, and I don't know if this is by design, if maybe Bill told some of the players, you know, get it all out of the way on Wednesday, talk for a long time on Wednesday. I don't know, but Gronkowski talked for a long time. Hernandez talked for probably 15 minutes. Deion Branch might have talked for 35 minutes.
Well, when he gets going, he,
So there were a lot of those today. Kevin Falk, Devin McCourty. So a lot of big crowds around guys. Some of the topics, you know, the tight ends have become their own story. You know, national guys asking about them, the whole nickname thing. And by the way, Gronkowski likes the Boston Tea Party with the T-E.
Right.
Another one that's being thrown around is Shake and Quake. Hernandez is the Shake and Gronkowski is the Quake, I guess. But he claims they're going to sit down and come up with their own.
What about Thunder and Lightning?
I think that's so cliche.
Oh, is it? Okay.
And it has a running back connotation.
Sure.
Generally.
Yeah.
But he said they're going to sit down and come up with their own. But, you know who I like? Hernandez. Really cocky about this offense. And I don't know if Bill likes it, but, you know, last week it was pick your poison. This week is talking about the personnel groupings, and he said, we make defenses think fast, and we play fast. And, you know, in terms of digesting.
Sure.
And,
yeah.
And it's all true. It's just a little bit rare from
right.
a Patriot to kind of be promoting.
Boastful.
Yeah, a little boastful. A lot of talk about, you know, obviously Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, how great they are, you know, Bill praise both the Hall of Famers and how rare it is to have two of them, maybe the best ever, on the same defense for a decade. But a lot of kind of trash talk questions. You know, Suggs is obviously usually leads that charge. And Branch, I thought was interesting, admitted Tom Brady's not very well liked outside of New England. And then he said, that's by design.
What is
I don't know if that's
that?
True. What I don't know. Somebody cut in and that's what I didn't like about today is you really got no follow-ups on anything. It's very tough to get questions in. And, you know, all these news guys are here. There's one guy from Channel 7 in Boston asking every player, you think you're going to win? You like your chances this weekend?
Is that right?
Are you flipping kidding me? No. We're actually not even going to prep because we think we're going to get killed. So what's the point of wasting time all week?
Well, he's trying to get the soundbite of someone saying we're going to win.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid. I hate it.
But,
it's entrapment.
Getting back to Branch's comment, I mean, do you think that they – what by design does he mean, like, you know, it would be good if everyone hates you, Tom?
No, I think he just doesn't want to be liked. You know what I mean? He has no desire to be liked.
Right.
Is the way I took it.
Right.
That I have one job. It's to lead my team.
Well, but then the answer is, well, it doesn't matter to Tom. You know
what the other
right?
No, I don't think it does.
Right.
As long as he's respected, as long as they can say, I hate that SOB, but he's good. Like Terrell Suggs, who the other night I joked with you, he said, when it's all said and done, it's going to be Brady, Johnny Unitas, and Peyton Manning. Case closed, best ever.
Right.
Well, he hates him as much as anybody, but he respects him. Right. And I think that's all Brady cares about.
Right.
But I think the implication is he doesn't spend one moment trying to suck up or anything to the other team. And I also probably think the stuff that we get annoyed with at times, the calling for flags and stuff, Brady knows rubs people the wrong way, but he says, if I get a flag, I don't care because it helps me win.
Sure.
The bottom line is for me to score points and win games.
Yeah.
And if I get 15 yards, I'm 15 yards closer to doing my
job. You do whatever it takes to win.
Well, you know, they kind of like an old, you know, Bobby the Brain Heenan or wrestling strategy. Whatever it takes to win, as long as I'm winning at the end.
Well, I mean, that's no different than flopping in basketball, you know, taking that charge.
No question.
You know?
And a lot of that stuff is not respected.
Right.
But you have to respect the guy if he continues to win and be successful. And you can't argue Brady isn't that.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a very good morning in terms of me. I did. I went one-on-one with Kevin Falk for our TV show for Thursday night Comcast. Yeah. He was very good. Talked to him along about a variety of topics because obviously he's not necessarily a centerpiece of the offense anymore. He kind of rarely plays. So we kind of delved off into Stephen Ridley, you know, kind of helping him out this week after a fumble lost. And then we even talked a little bit about maybe this being the end for Kevin Falk, and I urge people to watch to see what he had to say about the potential end of his career.
If anyone's watching tonight the Brady press conference, I think it was a local TV, you'll see me walking in front of a camera then knocking over a luggage rack. So
just Fred being Fred.
Yeah, you know, I had to get something to somebody, and it was crowded.
Freddie, I did some research.
Yeah.
And it's going to go on the blog later, But I figured, you know what? Our listeners are loyal. They deserve a little something for just listening. So a lot of talk this week has been not just the strengths of these teams, defense for the Ravens, offense for the Patriots, but the weaknesses. And, you know, the interesting part is the strengths are the exact same in terms of points. Patriots third in the league in points scored, Ravens third in the league in points allowed. Their weaknesses are pretty close, too. Patriots have allowed, are ranked 15th in points allowed. Ravens are 12th in points scored. But where I think these two separate themselves, and if you're debating maybe who's a little bit more underrated right now, I think I would go with the Ravens offense. Did you know they played 11 games against teams that were in the top 11 in points allowed this year, including 10 games against teams in the top 9? 10 of 16 games played came against top 9 scoring defenses. Part of that's their division, because Pittsburgh twice, Cincinnati
right.
twice,
right.
and Cleveland
yep.
twice. But they also played Houston, the 4th-ranked defense, San Francisco, 2nd in terms of points allowed, Tennessee, 8th, Seattle, 7th, even though people think Seattle stinks. So they've been tested.
But do you have to go deeper and look at those what teams those defenses played, if they played bad offenses?
No, I don't think you have to go that
No?
deep. Because I don't, I mean, do I do that against the Patriots? Because the comparison is...
But look at who are the good offenses in the AFC.
In the Patriots are the best.
Well, and Pittsburgh, I would say, is pretty good. They were good.
Good.
You know,
Patriots are the best.
San Diego had a good offense.
Good.
There are not a lot of them, though.
Right.
You know?
But what does the offense have to do with?
Well, when you know, I'm saying that...
So you don't think these defenses are good? That's what you're saying. These top five defenses aren't really top five defenses.
Well, they could be inflated by playing some pretty poor offenses.
But they played 16 games. They all played 16 games.
I know.
I mean, if you really want to devalue it, the comparison that I went with is now the Patriots, 15th in scoring points allowed, the offenses that they faced, how many you think they faced that were top 10 scoring offenses all year?
Four.
Two.
Two.
San Diego and Philadelphia. The only two teams we played that finished in the top 10 in points scored.
League-wide, okay.
League-wide.
Because weren't the Jets in the top 10 in the AFC, right? Definitely.
They may have been,
yeah.
but they're not in top 10. They finished 13th.
Yeah.
So maybe in the AFC. But,
right.
I mean, that's weakness versus weakness. I think their weakness was more tested. They played good defenses. And even Flacco, I didn't write that down. I believe he had 4 100 passer ratings against, one against Pittsburgh, one against San Francisco, and I believe 2 against Cincinnati.
Okay, but let's take it as weakness and weakness. Definitely what you're saying is the Patriots' weakness was the defense, correct? The Ravens' defense was their offense, correct? However, the Ravens' running game is very strong.
Right.
So you have to really narrow it down to their passing game was their weakness, and for the Patriots, their pass coverage was their weakness, because their run defense is pretty good.
I would give you that, and I would continue to say that Flacco, for all the flack he takes,
right,
is more tested this year than the Patriots, because the Patriots put up bad numbers against some bad competition.
And I would say that while Flacco was inconsistent, the Patriots' pass coverage was consistent.
Very, very consistent,
right.
Unfortunately.
Right.
But I just, to me, that's what a big issue in this game is, the weakness versus weakness. And I think it's magnified by last week, because everybody thinks the Patriots' defense is now fine because they beat the hell out of the Broncos, and they think their offense isn't very good because they weren't great against a pretty good defense in Houston.
Right.
So I think people are really putting a little too much stock in that game.
No, I give the Patriots a 60% chance of winning this game.
Me too. 60-40.
Yeah.
But I will certainly not be surprised if the Ravens win.
Yeah.
Because I think they're a pretty good football team.
Oh, they are. They're the most balanced team the Patriots have played. I mean, when the Patriots played the Jets looked like they were going to be pretty balanced, but it turned out that was kind of a facade.
And there's a lot of people who are kind of comparing Flacco and Sanchez. You know, they have success, they go to the postseason, but they're not consistent enough.
Yeah.
You can't count on them. Even Ed Reed was calling out Flacco this week. Did you read those
quotes? I heard that was taken a little out of context, that the comments were aimed more at the entire team and not just Flacco. That's what they're spinning
they may
it
be,
as.
Yeah. But what I read was about Flacco and about basically just throwing the ball where the coordinator told him, not going through reads. He even brought up a specific play where Ray Rice was knocked to the ground and he still threw it to him. I mean, I can even see that. And you had Torrey Smith one-on-one down the field.
Okay.
Like, he got pretty specific.
All right.
So I'm not saying that's a huge issue, but it's a little – you see that and you think, you really want to be doing that this week as he prepares to take on Tom Brady and has a challenge as it is?
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. Let's take some calls to start it out. Tim in Pensacola. Hey, Tim.
Fred, you honor me by being on the radio today.
Thank you, Tim.
You honored me yesterday by not calling, Tim.
There you go.
Screw you, Andy.
But you know I love to fight, Tim. You know it's all in fun.
Yes, it is. I love to go back and forth.
Good.
But today, I think Junior. The Patriot fans should unify because I admit I was worried going into our first playoff game because we hadn't won in 2 years, so I was petrified. But after that Denver game, and I might be going overboard, but the quarterbacks remaining is Flacco, Eli Manning, who has success against us, but I don't see him.
Who's also had a great year, Tim. You have to admit it.
I'm not the biggest Eli fan, but he has had a superb year.
Yeah.
No disrespect. I argued with my father even before that 07 Super Bowl. I didn't think there was any way the Patriots would lose it, but I've always been kind of an Eli fan, so to speak. I don't root for him, but I do respect him. I just don't see New England losing to him again. And then you have Alex Smith, and you have to respect that 49ers defense, but I just can't see Alex Smith beating Tom Brady in the Super Bowl.
I agree.
It doesn't compute. And with Rodgers and Breeze, who I wasn't quite sure we could beat, gone out of the playoffs, I give the Patriots a 99.9% chance of winning it. Hey, don't laugh because I'm already talking to the guy I purchased jerseys from. And I'm going to order a custom-made Super Bowl jersey when they finally go on sale. So I've already saved up the money.
Okay. Now, do you say 99.9 this week, too, against the Ravens?
I think this week is the best chance we have at losing, but I just don't see it. Like, usually, and you know me, Fred, I'm always the warrior. I'm always, well, what about this team? What about that? But you look at it, they got a lot of weapons. They got Bolden, they got Torrey Smith, they got Lee Evans, and I think each of those guys, one-on-one with our corners, can beat them, but I just have a feeling I don't see us losing.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. And, Andy, in the spirit of playoff competition, until the Super Bowl, I'm going to suspend my arguments with you. I'll go back to calling you a douche after we win the title. But I think Patriots fans should come together. So I'll get into you with this in the offseason. But, Fred,
yes.
I was on curse words with you, right?
Yep.
Thank you for final. And I'm not sure if it was directed towards me because I was typing in a lot of sarcastic, well, of Witten out there. Comments, and you finally acknowledged that Gronk was better than Witten.
I did.
Thank you. And I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. It's typical of you closed-minded, short-sighted people.
Tim, fans like him are getting me nervous. This is what got me nervous for the Broncos game. I told you yesterday I was listening to radio and everybody had no doubt. Now, it turned out to be right.
But that was reasonable. That was against a terrible football team. I know you like to mock me, but the numbers in the Wilson-Hart Power Index are legitimate stats. And they were 27th in all of football,
right. Based
on a lot of numbers.
Right.
So they left a lot. And when the game started the way it did, then it was really over. When the Patriots drive right down the field, you're fighting uphill battle as it is with Tim Tebow as your quarterback, and you dig a hole, you're done. I mean, that's not a good defense. It's not a good offense. I don't think he's going to be the starting quarterback. I know we don't want to devolve it, but he's not going to be the starting quarterback at the end of next year.
You don't think so?
No.
Yeah.
And now all the injury stuff comes out because he had his chest filling with liquid.
Well,
and,
well,
you know what?
The crown of thorns.
It was also irrelevant
because the
game was over long before he got hurt.
Yeah. I could see. I mean, he did take a couple big shots.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not saying he wasn't hurt.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying it played zero effect. The game was over, long over by the time he was hurt.
Well, I mean, I said on the blog that why not put Brady Quinn in the second half?
I would see
why they didn't.
I think that's your only chance of trying to actually throw the ball and
throw
be competitive.
The ball, get it downfield, yeah. Larry from Worcester's on the line. Hey, Larry.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I'm doing some stuff that I want to talk to after the season's over. But this game against the Ravens sort of fell into the middle of it. And then it was the 2010 draft and how Belichick, the GM, kept moving down in the first round. So, and Dallas ended up taking their biggest need, which was a wide receiver.
Yes, Des Bryant.
And then they immediately traded out of the first round, high in the second round. And guess who we got just before them in the second round? Their other big need, a tight end.
Right.
And I think that Belichick was looking at them saying, this could be the next biggest threat we have in the AFC in the next 4 or 5 years, and we can't let them get what they need in this draft. We're positioned perfectly for it.
Yeah, no question that they wanted to be ahead of the Ravens. Now, the Ravens have said they weren't going to take him. Now, that's, I think, what you probably say after you don't get the guy. But they had said their medical, they were not taking him there.
Right.
But I don't know whether that's true. But they were looking at it as a Ravens team that was probably looking for a tight end. What's that?
They took the sleepwalker in that pick.
Right.
So, I mean, what's medical? I mean, he's going to have a knee operation. I mean, I joke about the, quote, sleepwalking.
No, I know.
And then the sleep driving. I mean, he's going to have a knee operation.
No, there were definitely, that's why Sergio Kindle fell out of the first round, was medical. But, you know, that's also why Rob Gronkowski was probably not a first-round pick. And as we argued about a little bit yesterday, back injuries are seen differently in a lot of places other than knee injuries. I mean, knee injuries, you know, there's different kinds. Microfracture is a little bigger of an issue. But back injuries are seen as major red flags, and you need to be
sure. I agree wholeheartedly with it. But what I was looking at is that Belichick, the general manager, did some
maneuvering
yep. to hold Baltimore down and get the players I think he really wanted.
Well, I think he certainly wanted Gronk. There's no doubt about that, and he should have. We've seen
and I
why.
Think he wanted, and if you look how that the trade down went, Josh being that second, and like I said, this is an after-the-season discussion, Josh being the second pick in that two-pick trade down,
yep.
I'm sure that Josh had called him and said, look, we want to get Tebow. Can we have this pick? And he said, no, call the Ravens because we're gonna give it to Dallas so that Dallas can take their wide receiver. And he knew that McCourty would be there at the next pick because then right after that, everybody started, well, Minnesota draft traded out because they wanted McCourty. And then the Wilson went, and then the rest of, I don't know, four or five, and the next seven picks were all defensive corners or safeties.
Right.
So, I mean, I really see him seeing exactly how that was going to lay out for those five picks
mm-hmm.
swing that he did in the first round there.
Yeah, that's certainly possible.
And I really believe when he says, we were going to take him at 22, but we saw what we, and guess who else we got by trading down?
Right.
Hernandez.
Right.
So we got both the tight ends by moving down. So when they, it's this value, and I started to believe it. And now that I'm looking back, listening to you guys, and going back through the draft, it has been in the last 2 years anyway.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks, Larry.
And on offense,
the drafts have definitely been better since 2009, no doubt about it. Right?
Since 2009?
Since 2009. Since
the
personnel has changed a little
doesn't
bit.
Doesn't that leave Butler and Brace and Cunningham in the mix in the second round busts?
Well, not everybody. They haven't been perfect, but they've been better. I mean, 07, they used a lot of their picks on Moss, or they used a fourth round on Moss. But 08 was terrible, right? 06 was pretty bad, I believe. I can't remember.
Yes.
But there was that stretch there 3 years where it was pretty bad.
And they claimed they didn't like a lot of the players.
Yeah, where Pioli was kind of had his sights on some other things. And and then from 09 on, they got a lot better.
So. Better. There's a lot riding on Devin McCourty's future in terms of how much better
well,
you
that's
got.
That's true. Let's see. Greg from the billing department's on the line. Hey, Greg, getting those payables out?
Yes, sir. Sending out the invoices like always.
Tremendous.
Great.
So I actually had a couple of things I wanted to touch on about yesterday's show. I didn't get to listen live, so
lucky you.
Lucky me. No, I actually am very upset that I couldn't listen to the last 30-minute argument that you guys had because that was classic.
Well, you can always hear it on demand on Patriots.com.
I've already done that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I've already listened to it. I didn't get to listen live. The when the caller called in yesterday and was talking about the Deion Branch play, how he didn't even push off at all. I think that was him just. You could obviously see that there was a push off, but I think if they would have called pass interference, I would have been extremely upset because Goodman was definitely holding Branch's arm down the sideline.
Right.
And that's why he pushed off. So if you were going to call it, it could have gone both ways.
Right. It was one of those fighting for position kind of things.
Right. And I'm glad that they didn't call anything because that would have.
No guy got an advantage.
Well, I do think Deion did a better job because he pushed off at the perfect time to create separation, catch the ball in stride. So I do think he got an advantage. And a lot of times when you see that advantage gained, they do throw the flag on the offensive guy.
Yeah.
I think that Goodman, the only reason why Goodman was keeping up with him the whole time is because he was holding his arm.
I agree.
As Andy said, it comes down to what the ref sees.
And what looks glaring. Right. And that, to me, was a glaring push-off that I'm glad they didn't call. And I don't know how much you buy into this, but a guy called the Felger and Maz show yesterday and said, I got some inside knowledge. I got a friend who works in the officiating department at the league, and he claims they've been told to put the flags away and just, you know, unless it's blatant, don't call anything. And maybe that's true. And if so, I think that's for the betterment of the game.
Right, exactly. I think so, too. Let him play. As far as the Vernon Davis crying after, I can't believe that you don't remember Terrell Owens. He's the main person I love to make fun of because he's a jerk. Well.
Wait, he cried on the field?
The same thing with, San Francisco, when he caught the game-winning touchdown with Steve Young again. It was back in, like,
I know what you're talking about. I don't remember seeing him crying.
Oh, he was crying immediately after he caught the ball. He caught, was celebrating, and then he was hugging everyone on the sideline crying, just like Vernon Davis.
So it's a Bay thing.
Well, Dick Vermeil used to cry when they win the toss.
Well, Dick Vermeil, he cried all the time. But, it's a rarity. Now, that's two, and they both play skill position for the San Francisco team. I don't know what that says about anything.
Oh, boy, here we go. All right, Greg. You got something else?
Yeah, just one more thing. The defensive game plan, I think, is going to be – I think it should be very similar to the Broncos. Flacco is a much better quarterback than Tebow, but, I mean, I think the main focus should be stopping the run and getting pressure on. If you can get pressure on Flacco, I think he's going to crap the bed.
Right.
I think you're going to force him to make bad decisions. He's not an elite quarterback. He's nowhere near the middle of the pack quarterback. I think he's in a lower echelon of the league. And I think that if you can get pressure on him and stop the run, then I think you have a really good shot at just shutting this offense down. I mean, they completely crapped the bed against Jacksonville this year.
Mm-hmm.
What, 100 yards in the entire game?
Yeah, that was a weird game. Neither team really could do much. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the Ravens' defense against a terrible offense, and the Jaguars don't have a good defense.
Well, they're 11th in scoring.
Yeah, but the Patriots are what?
15th.
16th
yes, I know. I know. I'm just throwing it out there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I understand the scoring part, but, I mean, they made them look like a JV football team. It was terrible. So they have that. They just have that to crap the bed every now and then. I think that as long as they can shut that run down and get a little bit of pressure on him, he's going.
Yes. First and foremost will be
all right,
Ray
Greg,
Rice.
Thanks for the call.
I actually
breaking
asked
up a little.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Tough reception down in the billing department.
Sure.
I actually asked Falk. I said, I know you don't really study a Ravens offense, but, and he goes, Ray Rice. He finished and he like lit up. He thinks he is phenomenal.
Well, he's their Marshall Falk.
Yeah.
I mean, he does a lot of things for them.
I think a little more power than Falk as a runner, probably not quite as athletic.
Right.
But yeah, and it's the Cam Cameron offense. We've talked about this. When he was in Miami, it was Ronnie Brown. When he was in San Diego, it was LaDainian Tomlinson. His running backs are always kind of the centerpiece, and we know firsthand what Ray Rice can do in terms of big plays, and Bill was just talking a lot about it.
Sure.
You know, you look back this year, he's had all these 50, 70-yard runs against some good defenses at times. I think the first, 1A of the game plan is certainly going to be stopping Ray Rice.
No doubt. Larry in Miami. Hey, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Oh, you know, we're getting ready for the AFC Championship. What's going on with you?
Nothing. Just witnessed my firstborn son.
Hey, congratulations.
Right. Yeah, thank you, guys.
What's
That's
his name?
I called last week.
What's his name?
His name is AJ.
AJ? All right.
Yeah.
Cool. Everybody doing okay? Everybody,
Everybody's good. She's doing good. You know, she's just resting, and he's resting right now.
So is he jacked up for the AFC Championship game?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I was going to send you an email because I had this Patriot gear. Gave us a little luck. Well, we didn't need the luck, but, you know, anything for the playoffs, you know?
Send that picture in to the pregame social Sunday afternoon. We'll put it on Facebook page, PPGS or webradiopatriots.com.
All right, no problem. But I was just wanted to touch on that Ravens game, and the thing we're going to have to do, we're just going to have to be on multiple tight end sets because, for that pass rush, just in case they want to, not cover and just try to get to Brady because not covering, covering Brady, they're not the Steelers. So they're going to get ripped apart, especially with their offense. So I think they're going to probably be trying to get that pressure on him. So I think we should negate that with a lot of multiple tight end sets.
So you think the pressure, you think they're going to be aggressive, or they're just going to count on their front three, front four to get the pressure? You think they'll be blitzing?
They're going to be aggressive because I believe that if they just have the game like on Flacco's head, it's not going to be, they're going to have to make Brady poop his pants to have a chance.
Well said.
Well, he's in probably going to have to deal with a lot of poop coming up with the newborn baby. So it's on his mind.
Maybe this is the front four is pretty good. It's, you know, it could easily be top 10, top five, but the corners out there is going to be suspect. I understand, you know, Pittsburgh did that to us. They have people to match up with us, but I don't think they could do what Pittsburgh did.
Yeah.
And Ed Reed is limping, and I don't think they're going to have to pressure Brady up the middle. We all know, everybody knows that, you know, they're going to have to pressure. I don't know if they're going to get him on the edges, but up the middle is going to be their best bet.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to make, you know, Brady, you know, very flustered in this game. And Ray Rice, you know, just give the ball to Ray Rice as their formula. But
yep.
If we can stop Ray Rice, we have a good chance.
I would say you're dead on. If you stop Ray Rice and you protect Brady, you're probably going to win the football game.
All right. Thanks, Larry.
Yeah. As far
congratulations
as
congratulations on. Now, I have a theory. All right. These two teams played last year.
Yes.
How different would you say the Patriots' offense is this year than last year?
Significantly.
Okay, so, and they haven't
played.
Remember,
that was Deion's big game.
Right, and they haven't played during the regular season this year, so they haven't really looked at each other. However, the look that the Patriots had last year of the Ravens is probably more consistent
similar
with what they are now.
Probably.
So, advantage.
They had a coordinator change, right? Madison was the guy, he left, and they have a different guy.
Oh, I'm not sure.
Pretty sure they have a different coordinator, but I don't think their scheme is as directly tied to the coordinator.
So I say advantage Patriots there, don't you?
Theoretically, although Tom Brady has not had a ton of success against this defense. So if they're the same, that may not be great.
But I'm
he's always been in the 20s, right, in these games? It's always like 23.
But I'm thinking about what Larry said, and I think he's right to a degree. I also think that the Patriots need to get right away, obviously, establish the pass. You know, forget about the run. Establish the pass. High percentage, short passes, and maybe establish somebody other than the big three, Welker, Gronk, and Hernandez. You know, maybe a Danny Woodhead or, you know, coming out of the backfield or Deion Branch.
Ocho Cinco.
No. getting some people involved in the offense other than those three. And I think, like last week, you go fast pace throughout. Because of the Ravens, you know, they've seen the film, obviously, but they haven't experienced this Patriots offense, this version of it yet.
And that's, I think that's huge. And I tried to ask Bill about that a few weeks back. I think the tight ends are just a totally different group. And there was even some guys, I want to say it's the Packers coordinator last year, or somebody on the Packers was quoted as saying, you watch film on these guys, you don't understand how quick Hernandez is until you see him on the field. And you don't understand how big Gronkowski is until you see him on the field. And I think there's something to that. Playing these, and they're much better now. It's not the same guys.
Right.
Playing
right.
them now, there will be an awakening, I think, for their safeties and their line. Oh yeah, he's pretty big now and good. And,
right.
You know, he's different than he was last year. And
that's right.
I definitely think there's something to be said for that, but I think there's something to be said for they have a pretty good defense and a defense that's had some success against Brady over the years.
Oh, sure. But I think all the more reason to keep the fast pace, not let them think – you know, limit the amount of substitutions they can make.
I still say, though, that nobody acknowledges. That's the running idea. EEI this morning, you know, they're just going to come out. They're going to go no huddle. They're not going to allow them to do. Well, if you go three and out, that puts your defense back on the field. And if you try that again, all of a sudden you've used up about 80 seconds of clock.
Sure.
And you've given them drives. And if they're taking advantage of any of that, you can't keep doing that.
I know.
Can't stay no huddle if you're not moving the ball.
You can't be stubborn about it.
But it's not just going no huddle. It's going no huddle and moving the football.
Executing.
And scoring some
points. You have to That's why I think first, high percentage, you know, just keep it moving, you know. Kevin Faulk might be a factor. Who knows?
That'd be great.
He's a trusted guy in this situation. You know, he's not the fastest
anymore. It's
probably
Woodhead. You're right. It's probably Woodhead.
Yeah.
It's probably going to see spread sets with Woodhead, some trick 'em kind of runs.
Right.
And that kind of stuff. But it's going to come down to the playmakers. I just keep it down.
Oh, sure.
If Gronkowski plays like he can and Hernandez plays like he can,
you
win. If Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and Terrell Suggs play like they can, you might lose.
But, you know, you figure that coming out of the gate, the Ravens are going to be keying on the big guys.
Yep.
So if you can get somebody else established, now they're reeling. Now, you know, they're still thinking about those big guys, but you've hit them on a couple of plays with Branch or Woodhead. Now you got them on their heels a little bit. Now you hit, you know, Gronkowski down the seam, and now you're rolling.
Ed Reed will be huge. If he's legitimately hindered, that's a problem for them.
Yeah.
But if he's not hindered and you think he's hindered, as I said yesterday, if you test him and he's not hurt, that test may cost you the game if he's running the other way with the football.
You know, and it is too bad about Ridley fumbling and being a rookie and all that, because I think that if I'm a coach, I am hesitant to put him out there because of the way the Ravens hit.
Yep.
They hit hard. They go for the ball. They know how to strip. You know, their helmet's right there, you know, in the midsection, right on the ball. And,
different physicality, and, different tempo, different everything.
Yeah, they know how to cause those fumbles. And
they can
I'm really worried about him out there.
They can do defensively to an offense what the Patriots offense does to defense.
Right.
They can set the tone and the tempo of a game and change it completely. And you're right, for a rookie who may have some confidence issues, who may have some ball security issues, that could be a bad formula. That's why I don't think you'll see him at all.
Paul's here.
He made it.
Hi, guys.
He's got a big smile on his face.
I don't know why. It's not what I had coming in.
Oh, I don't have a smile on my face. What? I assume that you guys weren't
Groundhog
kidding.
Groundhog Day.
Yeah, I assume you're not kidding about that.
What?
None of that was a joke, right?
What?
The other stuff?
What joke?
The TV stuff is not a joke.
Oh, no. We have to do the whole
thing. No, there's nothing to be smiling about.
I don't.
Costing me my, you know, commitments that I make with other people.
Paul's referring, we shot our TV show yesterday and
technical difficulties.
Somehow the tape got erased, so we have to do the entire show again today.
No, not the entire show. One person lucks out.
Who, Paul?
Yeah.
Really?
Perillo's points is the only thing that's usable.
Oh, that's huge.
Yeah, tell me about it. I was rooting the other way, because, forget it. We don't need to get into details on air.
You're right about that. No one cares.
Terrell Suggs is at the podium now for the Ravens, and he's a big dude.
They all are.
Yeah.
Ray Lewis, you ever seen him when he's in a suit? He looks like, I'm going to kick your ass right now.
I mean, they all look like mobsters, you know?
Gangsters, but yeah.
Yeah.
I would go with, you wouldn't want to face them in a dark alley.
No. You'd want them with you.
Yes. Yeah. I want to be on their side.
Right.
Not that I am, of course.
Mike in Florida's on the line. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Fred, I honor you with my call.
You honor me. Okay.
That's well done, Mike.
Yeah. Listen, he actually, Todd, or whatever his name is, prompted my call, and that is I've noticed quite a bit of confidence or overconfidence in Pat's Nation this week, and I'm disturbed by it. I thought Andy brought up some really good points, and I think that we're underestimating just how good Baltimore's offense could be. I mean, they are very inconsistent, but I think we're underestimating also the level of competition. If you look at the teams that we faced, and you know this, during our win streak, we faced horrific offenses.
Yep.
And not good teams, not one winning team, as you guys, you know, have heard a million times. And I think that if I had to flip a coin, it's a 50-50 deal on the game, and that Baltimore's offense is way better than our defense, and our offense is like about the same as their defense. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's how it breaks down. I do think you're talking strength versus strength is comparable. Whoever makes the plays, whoever plays like they can, whether it's Brady or whether it's Suggs or whether that's kind of a draw and somebody's going to make plays. I do think the Ravens' offense is better than our defense. I think it's played out. I think the numbers and the stats show that.
Right. All right. And then as far as our defensive effort last week, it was outstanding. But Mangini brought it up, and I don't think it can be overestimated how influential, and nobody really gives the McDaniels thing this insight, was that he was able to tell Bill or whoever, our coaching staff, the weaknesses of every single player on that team that was there 2 years ago. And Mangini said that's huge. You can't see that from game film. You only see it from practice film. And we looked like we knew everything they were doing, you know?
Yeah, I don't believe that was as big a key as playing them a month earlier. I think playing that option a month earlier and what Rob Ninkovich saw and learned in that matchup was key, because that's what it looked like to me, is they started believing in assignment football and true option defense and had trust in the guys around them. And maybe Fred's right. Maybe the Spikes Chung addition played a role in that. But I just think that the McDaniels thing was minimal.
I think Josh might have helped, but I don't think it's.
Do you guys feel the fans are overconfident this week?
Yep.
A little bit. I'm starting to get this. That again, I started off the show by saying I'm starting to get that little uneasy feeling I did.
Yeah, but you get it against like the Colts.
Saturday
you got it
morning.
Against the Broncos. That means you'll get it
That's
against
what I'm
anybody.
Saying. Saturday morning, all the people were calling in saying there's no way we lose this game.
Yeah, I don't
and
know.
They were right.
I don't know if overconfident is the right word, but it's there's definitely a confidence. There's no one thinks they're going to lose this game. And I don't listen. I don't think you should think you're going to lose an AFC Championship game if you're a fan. I think you should think you're going to win it.
So
right.
All right, guys.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
You wouldn't ask all the players in the locker room. You
if they're overconfident.
You think you're going to win? No. Do you think you're going to win?
Yeah. Please tell me that that wasn't the question that was asked. You think you're going to win?
I believe it was a Channel 7 news reporter.
Okay.
They bring the news guy in to get the big quote.
A dumbass question.
The ones that we don't have the foresight to ask.
Right.
But I thought, by the way, the Patriots defensively, I thought it looked a lot more like the last three quarters. And to back up Andy's point of, I think, the second time around, I think once they got their discipline down and understood what it was to go against that offense, I think they scored 10 points in the last three quarters in Denver, and they scored 10 points in this game. I think it was pretty similar, you know, once they got settled down. You know, they ran the ball for some yards. I mean, they had like 145 yards rushing or something like that. I mean, they got their yards, but they didn't really sustain drives, and they didn't put points on because the Patriots defense forced enough negative plays to get them in long yarded situations, which Tebow can't convert.
Right. Let's go to Chris with a TIAN. Hey, Christian.
Hey. Radio Gold yesterday with that. that was something. Andy's voice gets high pitched, and then he gets like it almost sounds like he's got a Pepsi bubble in the back of his throat when he talks. It sounds like Paul, kind of.
Well, we've heard everything from Radio Gold to Radio Poop, so.
No, it was Radio Gold. That was great.
Tell me.
That's all he kept saying. what do you guys think of Flacco as far as where he ranks among quarterbacks? Jag, top 10.
Not Jag, but middle of the road.
Between those two somewhere.
Yeah.
So that being said, when you look at this defense and you see that, you know, they gave up the yardage to the likes of Dan Orlovsky and, you know, other guys, do you think Flacco's capable of going out there and torching this defense?
I do, yep. Based on
with
the fact,
Golden
like you said, Orlovsky, Matt Moore, I mean, I think he's certainly better than those guys, and certainly at least in the class of Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's now considered a legit starter.
And it helps when you have a running back that you really have to honor, like Ray Rice. You know, it definitely helps.
And how are his playoff numbers? Are his playoff numbers, you know, over the top good, or are they like middle of the road? What are they?
Well, you know, the one year that they played the Patriots, 2009, he had a broken arm, basically, and
yeah, that was
a hip,
was
wasn't
like,
it?
Yeah, or something, whatever. Something. He couldn't throw the ball.
It was a hip.
The stats are not good.
Yeah.
But he wins. He's not at, like I think, you know, Fred hit the nail with the Ray Rice comment. He has a running game. That's how the Ravens want to play. They don't want to ask him to do a whole lot. Now, some of those wins came when he was just a rookie in 2008, so they obviously didn't ask him to do a whole lot, but. Even in some games that he has been asked to do more, he has tended to make some mistakes. And that's what keeps him from being, from getting out of that middle of the road kind of status that we all agree that's where he is. His stats are not great, Christian, in the play. His stats are not great in the regular season. He had a very, statistically, he had a very bad year. He was like an 80 quarterback rating.
Yeah, he had a couple good games, but
he's very inconsistent.
He averaged out at about 59% passing completion,
something like that.
Yeah,
20 and 12, I think, touchdowns and interceptions.
Yeah, I mean, nowadays in the NFL, a good quarterback is 63, 64, no lower than that.
Absolutely.
His numbers wouldn't have been too bad like 20 years ago.
Right.
3,600 yards, 20 touchdowns, 12 interceptions.
And in his defense, he throws the ball like it's 20 years ago. Right. He throws everything downfield. You know, he doesn't have, I mean, other than the dump-offs to Rice, which there are a lot of, Rice is their leading receiver. There's no in-between for him. There's no 15-yard outs for first downs for them. They either go down the field or dump it off to Rice.
Yeah.
It's like a college offense.
Okay, well, I'm confident, but I'm not overconfident. They're going to win this game, the Patriots. They're going to win it. They're not going to lose this.
Okay, give the percentage. We're doing the percentage.
I'm excited.
Game.
Oh, my God, if they win, we're going back to the
Super Bowl. The percentage against the Ravens, 85% they win.
85%? I'd say you're a little overconfident, personally.
85%. They're at home. Hey, listen, pal, you're the biggest Gronk fan on the face of the planet. How are they going to stop Gronk?
That's a good question. They won't.
They got to get to number 12 up the middle, right?
Right. They stop them with Nada or Suggs or one of those guys.
Yep.
Ray Lewis up the pooper.
Well, I hope not up the pooper.
You don't want Ray Lewis up the pooper.
I don't want any Ray Lewis anywhere near
All
him.
Right.
Get him.
A lot of pooper.
All right.
All right, Christian. Thanks for the call. Let's go to some emails, shall we?
Had he gone to prison, somebody probably would have gotten Ray Lewis up the pooper.
That's true. Oh, look, it's been so long, it kicked me out of my email program.
Good story.
Paul, how was jury duty? Just making small talk while I get back. All right, I'm back. Travis in Collierville.
I was so looking forward to the jury duty talk.
Tennessee. Well, he didn't have to do it. They kicked him out because of his
notoriety.
TV. Somebody recognized him.
You know that's not why I got kicked out, right?
Well, why'd you get kicked out?
Well, they didn't need me.
Oh.
Had nothing to do with my pretty face.
No, but someone did recognize
that me. Is true.
Yeah.
I thought, as soon as I walked in, I thought, I'm golden. First court officer I saw. Hey, aren't you that sports TV guy?
Sports TV guy.
That's exactly what he said. And I shook his hand and introduced myself.
Yes, I am.
Well, yes. Thanks for asking.
Right.
So I figured I might, sort of be shuffled off to the side, but I wasn't. I had to wait like everybody else.
So he went home and told the wife, hey, I met Mike Giardi today.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, Travis says, Paul, you
picked a fat guy and the skinniest guy in Boston sports media.
Well, I figured somebody from Comcast.
Tom Curran would have been probably a mark.
Paul, you were completely right about the comment you made about Fred on the pregame social last week. Fred opened the show yesterday. We've got a ton of emails already, and they're flying in. Fred mentioned this a few times in the first hour, and I think he may have gotten to one email. In the second hour, maybe another five. By a ton of emails, I'm thinking 100. So at 6 out of 100, Fred's percentage is 6%. Step it up, Fred. Tebow has better numbers than that. Can't wait for another pregame social with Paul Pointman Perillo and Andy Doucheman Hart. I think I got to quite a few emails yesterday.
I don't see how you could. We argued for an hour.
No, but up until that point, I think...
It was that 45-minute block where there was just screaming.
Well, plus, you never read emails early. You always go right to callers, and when you're open... So the first 45 was no emails, and the last 45 was arguing.
Right.
So.
Well, I can't help that. Giovanni in Chandler, Arizona says, boy, I sure do love this show, and all of you are great. But, Fred, you were being a real ass yesterday. I was listening in a library and was pretty close to shouting, just shut up and read emails. Another person who wants more emails. Fred, maybe Andy wouldn't be so negative if you didn't rag on him every show. Well, poor Andy.
Yeah.
Sure, you can argue, but when Andy argues back, you just mock him in that stuttering Andy voice.
Yeah.
Anyway, what the hell is up with the Sun Life Patriots postgame show? Oh, Giovanni doesn't like anything. Adam Jones reminds the listeners at least 30 times what show they're listening to and where he's broadcasting from, then reads emails, then listens to like 10 callers, then has Dane Fletcher on the air, takes like 4 breaks, plays Belichick's postgame interview. So in reality, he had like 45 seconds of actual radio. In the defense of Paul, I thought his question to Bill about the prior losses in the playoffs was fair, but Bill answered it in 2 words. I think that's how some of the emailers feel sometimes. Only kidding. Oh, and there was a question during Belichick's interview about Brady's 6 touchdowns. The guy started by saying Brady had 6 touchdowns, but when the guy asked it, it sounded like Brady had sex. Okay, good, Giovanni.
Paul got a great answer. You don't need a lot of words. Usually Bill needs a lot of words to say nothing. When he gives you a short answer, he usually says a lot, and that was the case postgame with Paul. The whole team feels that?
Yeah, I think the whole team feels that way. But just think of how great the answer was for Andy to give credit to someone else like that. So yeah, that's high praise.
Bill did a really good job answering that question.
Yes, that's high praise from Andy.
Did you get any questions in today?
I didn't try.
No?
And Strippers was mad at me. Cause you better go ask. I want to hear Andy Hart.
Andy Hart, Patriots Football Weekly.
Yeah. No interest. All the TV guys were like elbowing.
Oh, it was unbelievable. I was ragging on Giardi.
Oh, yeah?
Because he said he had his hand up for like 5 minutes.
He was sitting there, and I'm like, what are you doing? I don't want to get out.
And they wouldn't call on him. I said, that's because they know it'll be a bad question.
I walked in front of a camera and knocked over a luggage rack during Brady.
Is this true?
Yeah.
I wasn't there.
We were in the locker room.
I was doing your Kevin Falk interview.
Hey, you always say it's the Andy Hart show. This week it really will be.
And I, continued my streak of asking the tough question. I was running out of things to ask him. So, fans are really wondering, and could we be seeing the end of the Kevin Falk era here in New England?
You really are a jerk.
Moose said I had to ask it.
Bobby in West Virginia. Every week I'm
surprised. Given any thought to retiring, or, you know, 13 years long career?
Well, I might have said it more.
There's more respectful way to ask the question. Don't put your head down at me.
Just so you know,
you over there, don't drop your head in shame at me.
The two options where we were going with that was the retirement question, or
last week you were
the short man on the punt, and you backpedaled about 30 yards, kind of like a second baseman calling off a center fielder. What was that all about?
On the warning track.
But I didn't go with that.
You didn't.
And then Moose distracts me because, you know how we shoot it in front of the training room?
Right.
He had his light on, and he claims he was, quote, getting the evil eye from somebody in the equipment room, I mean.
Yeah.
So he shuts his light off mid-interview. A, I don't know how that's going to look good on TV, and B, very distracting. Because I'm assuming, did his camera just, you know, given what we've gone through, did the camera break, or we have to redo this? But, you know, I'm a trooper. I just put my head
down.
When
I first saw your text about it, I thought for sure it was a joke. Then I saw Tori's.
See, I saw those in opposite order. I just got an email that said, hey, everybody, week 20, part two. And I was like, was I left out of the loop on something? And then I saw the text and cried myself a little bit.
Bobby in West Virginia.
Hey, Bobby.
Guys, every week I'm surprised defenses haven't caught on with Brady's quick snap language. Every time Brady wants the center to snap the ball, he yells, alpha. You'd think the defense would catch on to this and get a jump on the snap. Similarly to Alex Smith, when he says, let it roll, used to stand up and physically do the get your roll on move, watch Ravens game. I've decided he is checking out of the play call and is usually checking into the run. Am I the only one that can see this? Why don't teams playing us get more pressure? When Brady yells alpha, it means the ball is being snapped now. Curious to hear what you guys think about this, as I'm sure you've noticed it too. Fairly new listener, love the show, keep up the great commentary.
Well, plenty of times they know the snap. They know when the snap's coming. That doesn't mean you're necessarily going to get pressure. I mean, every time they're in the gun and Brian Waters goes with his hand, that means the snap's coming. A one count later or whatever. You can pick the timing up when you're on the field.
A lot of times the snap, I mean, not necessarily for the Patriots because they run so much hurry up, but a lot of times the snap comes with 1 second on the play clock.
Right.
So if you really wanted to do that stuff, you could time it. So it's either going to be delay a game or you're going to get a jump off the
snap. But that's only step one of the five-step process of getting to the quarterback. A lot of emails.
Damien.
Did you just fall asleep in the middle?
No, I'm reading emails while you're talking. I'm trying to get everyone.
Yeah, but you kind of like.
Everyone's mad because I don't read a lot of emails.
But your head sort of slumped. I was worried about you for a second.
And now you're spending time telling us that people get mad about emails, and yet you're not reading an email.
Oh, for Christ's sake. Damien from Southeast England.
Hey, what? Did you listen to Brady? Did he have anything interesting to say?
No, I didn't listen to Brady. I the only reason I was in there is because I had to deliver something to somebody.
Marge?
So, no.
Paul, Dion Branch said that he, and I didn't get to follow up before you yell at me, because it was tough to get follow-ups today.
I'm not going
to
yell at him for.
But Dion Branch said that Tom Brady is not liked outside of New England, and that's by design. I took.
Why didn't you follow up?
Yeah. Some news guy asked him if he thought he was going to win.
that's an odd statement to make.
I told Fred I took it more as
we want to win, and when you win, you don't care.
But he's so focused on winning, he doesn't have time to be focused on. Like I said, he probably looks at the begging for flags as, yeah, this is probably going to rub people the wrong way. But if I get a 15-yard flag, it helps me win, and I don't care what you think as long as it helps me win.
Right.
He's not cheating. I mean, he's not going so far as to break anything. It's just
Damien from South England. The Patriots spread the ball out a lot more against Denver than we normally see. We tend to get those two tight end, two wide receiver sets 90% of the time. To the extent we only see a couple of three wide receiver sets, I think it really helped out the offensive line that was a little banged up. Do you see them spreading the ball out a little bit more against the Ravens and forcing them to generate more pressure with just their D-line? They really struggled to get pressure on Yates last weekend, especially with their front line, and could help the O-line and Brady out a great deal.
But didn't they use the package of two tight ends, three receivers, and Hernandez was in the backfield some of the time? So I think if you get caught up with the – if you're another team and you're looking at personnel with the Patriots and you get too caught up in – oh, we got to put our two tight end package on the field. Well, I wouldn't.
That's what they want you to do.
Because I consider Hernandez a receiver, but he was actually a running back last week. He was Woodhead.
He's another slot guy. I mean,
so
I wouldn't.
I think you need to
that.
Be. If I'm looking more at their skills than the label that to me Hernandez is a slot receiver. That's the way I would treat him as a personnel guy.
I agree.
They're in a lot of one tight end sets.
Well, they kind of made him into an H-back though.
Right.
Last week.
Right.
You know.
But that's my point, saying, you know, they were in more spread sets. Well, they just kind of changed the roles a little.
But
Hernandez, Edelman was in her for Hernandez, and Hernandez was in for Woodhead. But Hernandez was kind of the running back, or whatever they have him as, the F in the position, or H, whatever.
Right.
What I thought they did more of, obviously, last week, was give him the ball out of the backfield. But we've seen him line up out in the backfield a lot.
And then motion out.
Well, we've also... Or just run routes from there. Yeah. But he stayed in the backfield a lot more often.
At least 3 weeks ago, I remember saying, why do we have six running backs if we're going to use Hernandez as our running back for straight handoffs?
Or Brady continues to sneak.
Right. So, I mean, this is not a new wrinkle. It grew. It was a little more, it kind of grew on one play.
They gave it to him.
You got a 43-yard play out of it that was.
And I'm not sure they would have given him. Did he end up with six carries or five?
Five for 61, I think.
Yeah, I'm not sure he would have gotten five carries had he not gotten 40-whatever yards on one of them.
And I don't think he's probably going to get it this week because now that he's a little, whatever, dinged up. Although he was in the locker room again. He is not dinged up. He is 100%
fine. Says he's fine.
But you could see this formation again, and now he's running a wheel route down the sideline, matched up against a linebacker. Touchdown, thanks for play, or whatever it might be.
Making it harder for the defensive backs to sort of hit him.
Right.
Get a jam on him and Gronk. I think that's why Bill chooses to move them around so much. They're in motion a lot. They come out of the backfield occasionally. Obviously more so Hernandez than Gronk, but Gronk has done that too. Lined up at fullback, coming out in motion, and all of a sudden he's downfield.
Right.
Do you think they might run the ball? The Patriots might run the ball a little bit more this week, figuring you're going to get a lot of light fronts?
Not at
Probably
first.
Not.
I don't think they want to waste the downs early.
Yeah, I think you guys are right, and I think that's the smart thing to do. I think if you run the ball, you're playing right into Baltimore's hands, even if you have success running it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What are the chances you even have success? Are you going to get Green Ellis for 1.7 yards a carry for five carries?
Yeah. But like, if Green Ellis averages 4.7 a carry, I mean, if I'm Baltimore, I'm saying, okay, the clock is running.
Yeah.
I have a chance to stop them in the red zone. I'm good at that. They're not hitting me for big plays. Gronk and Hernandez aren't killing me.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, something's got to give. The Patriots' offense is immense. If you're a defense, even if you're a good defense, something's got to give. Mm-hmm. If we're going to bracket Gronk, try to get physical with Welker, let the outside guys take whoever lines up outside, Branch, Ocho, Edelman last week, whoever that is, let the outside guys go one-on-one. Something's got to give.
Right.
And it's probably going to be a lot of six-man fronts trying to stop the run if they decide to run, which, if they do, I would expect the Patriots to pick up some yards doing that.
Oh, sure, yeah.
If I'm Baltimore, I'm more than content, as long as they don't break, like last week, a 45-yarder on you. You can't let that happen.
Right. Juve from West Palm Beach, Florida. I haven't emailed you guys in a couple of years.
What was the name?
Juve, J-U-V.
Oh.
You probably remember me. I'm the one who put together a couple of intros and used to cut and paste your words to sound more dirty than what you guys made it sound like.
Now I remember.
Although sometimes I cannot believe what I'm hearing, what you would do for $30 million, for example.
You wouldn't?
Who's asking?
Anyway, I was out of work for almost a year, probably the best thing that could have happened to me. Now I have a great job with great coworkers. What is this, an IT tech commercial? I wanted to write to you guys to tell you how entertaining you all are. Fred, of course, is the funniest with his bumper button hip units stories.
Okay.
Andy and Paul keep me informed, and Eric completes the show, so give him some credit. I'm so proud.
Notice he just completes the show that he can't actually explain how he completes the show.
Is Eric? Is he in today?
I don't know.
He did actually show up today. Proud of him.
He's wearing his long camel-haired coat today.
Okay.
I said it was something like Elizabeth Taylor would wear with a big scarf.
He's got a long scarf that's hanging with it, goes all the way down. And it does. It looks like a woman's coat.
Yeah.
So he's not coming to the show, though?
Well, he's got a lot of things to do.
Whenever. Yeah, he'll have our practice update in this last part of the show.
Let's see. I'm proud of our team, the way they played Saturday night. Our defense played probably their best game yet. Tom Brady is a man on a mission. I watched the game with some friends in our patio, and I bet the whole neighborhood could hear me yelling. I took Tom's advice and got lubed up before the game. Hope this continues for two more games. We Patriots fans are very blessed to have Mr. Kraft as an owner, Bill as a coach, and Brady as our QB. We are witnessing history in the making. Trust me, watching the Dolphins ownership coaching mess down here really makes you appreciate what you have. I always look forward to listening to your shows. Keep up the great work. Well, thank you, Juve. That's very nice of you.
Hey, Juve.
1 o'clock. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we got, Tyrone in Delaware, Chris in New York, and Craig in South Carolina on the line.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature-y, right? Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day. With plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide C-pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, in that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic. That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a turbo shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Mmm, these Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites, your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
I love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Visitor Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Fred's the boss, the chief, the leader of the PFW in Progress clan. And while he often goes on rants about fun facts, Skype, and making $5 the hard way, he sometimes has interesting things to say, or at least when you can hear him.
PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I just got yelled at because I didn't have my mic on.
Why don't you put your mic on?
Welcome to PFW. I had my mic off again.
Again.
Two shows in a row.
Turn your mic on, Fred.
Oh, I should remember to...
As sure as the stars shine above.
And Fred didn't turn on his mic.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
That's the longest you've ever gone.
And now, back to PFW in Progress. That is, if Fred remembers to turn his mic on.
All right, back here, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Scott McAllister writes in really quick. He says, just to let you know, there are no NFL.com stories on the Patriots right now. I went to the site to read about my Patriots, and there are none anywhere on the main page. That's BS. So let's get Patriots Nation upset. No respect. We love it. That's how we love going into the playoffs. No one thought we could do it. It's the Rodney Harrison. I love it. You guys still with me here?
I am. What do you want me to say?
Okay, nothing.
I love it. I love it too, Fred.
Let's go to
Paul, you love it too?
Not really.
Let's go to the phones. Tyrone's in Delaware. Hey, Tyrone.
Hey, man. How you guys doing?
Hey, Tyrone.
Yeah, man. Well, I want to talk about, you guys were talking earlier about being overconfident. I'm 50-50, but these Baltimore Ravens fans down here, man, they counting to going to Indianapolis right now. They are giddy right now because they always talk about the defense. And, me, myself, been critical about the defense all year long, but I think they got a little better. I think they ain't going to give them no credit. But, could go either way. Like Andy said, but if I got to pick, I think Baltimore good for 24. We just got to get in the 30s. I think they're going to get 24 on us on the defense. And I think Danny Woodhead, you got to have him match up on one of them linebackers out of the backfield or something. And I'm probably – we got to – because they came down here, especially the host of Baltimore, the host of the radio people down there, that we don't go downfield. So they saying because we don't go downfield, they will be able to bracket Gronk a lot more. What you guys think about that?
Well, we don't go downfield all that often, and I think everybody's pointing to the last time they faced a good offense, San Diego undressed them. And we talked about it at the time. Yeah. I think that was a bad matchup because San Diego does have those big guys on the outside that want to go down the field, and that's a bad matchup for the – Ravens defense, because I don't think the corners are great. I think you can take advantage of them. But I think this team, quote, goes down the field a little bit. I mean, when Gronk... Yeah, I mean, it's not on the outside, but they test you. It's not like you will not test the back end of the defense. They test you. It's just a little bit different. And even, Deion Branch has tested defenses deep down the sideline this year. And over the last couple of years, he's had long touchdowns where he's caught the ball, 35 yards downfield and made big plays. So it's not Randy Moss, but I think this defense can challenge you in a variety of ways. I don't think you can count on any one thing.
Thanks, Tyrone. Let's go to Craig in South Carolina. Hey, Craig.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, Craig.
Hey. You made the reference a moment ago to San Diego, and you're right. Their DBs do have difficulties challenging tall, athletic players. And those completions in the San Diego game, it wasn't like, they threw bombs and they caught them after 40 yards. They were intermediate crossing routes, all the things we do well. They had a lot of success against them. That coupled with the fact that the game was at San Diego, you know, a lot of us, when we think of the Ravens, you know, we think about how strong they are defensively, and because those awesome plays that they make are frozen in our minds, right? But we didn't see a lot of them play on the road this year, and they did not play well on the road. I mean, they lost to some pretty crappy teams that put some points on them. You know, it wasn't anything gaudy, but I really do like our chances this week, and it's not really a matter of, you guys know me, I know football, I'm not naive, but I do think that we've got some wrinkles that we haven't shown. And last week was one example with Hernandez coming out of the backfield. But I'm extremely confident that we're going to elevate our game on offense. Now, I know they're a really good defense, but I do think that we're going to, you know, at least score 28 on them. And I, honest to God, think that our defense is starting to gel. It wasn't just because of Tebow, you know, who we played against. I honest to God think that our defense is going to limit their scoring opportunities. I think they'll have some early success. That seems to be the pattern. And then we'll go ahead and make adjustments. I don't see them putting 17 on us, and I do see us, you know, winning. I'm going to say covering the spread anyway, and I'm thinking like 10.
Yeah, see, I'd love to be right with you about, you know, I think the defense is beginning to gel. But, I mean, Denver is so unorthodox. You can't judge it based on that game. And then you look at December, and, you know, they played some pretty poor teams, you know, offensively. You know, the Bills weren't the Bills that they played.
If they had done that to the Bills and the Dolphins, what they did to Denver, I'd be on board with the it's gelling thing. I was on board with it last year. I didn't think defensively we were very good last year, but down the stretch, the points went down, the yards went down. They started rolling people, you know, in December, and I thought, well, you know, it's like all those Belichick teams, they get better defensively as the year goes. I think they played great Saturday night, but I don't think they've really played another game even close to as good as that. Really, any other game all year.
But they don't play many offenses like that either. So that's, I think.
But that's what I'm saying.
If they had shut
down Buffalo and shut down Miami and shut down Washington, I'd be on board with the defensive side of it. I think Craig's right about the Patriots' offense. I can't see the Ravens shutting the Patriots' offense down the way it has in the past.
But shutting it down, and I think Tyrone, the call earlier, said, you know, I think we're going to get in the 30s. I don't know if that's going to be true. And I don't think they haven't done that against the Ravens ever, right? Hasn't it all been in the 20s?
But they've been in the high 20s.
All you have to do is point to two games this year. Us against Pittsburgh and the Giants versus Green Bay over the weekend. I mean, two great offenses that, you know, while they weren't completely shut down, they were given problems all day. I mean, Rodgers looked at times where he just had nowhere to go with the ball and plenty of time, but you can see that happening. You know, you can see that happening.
Fred, the number of teams in the NFL that have two awesome, explosive tight ends like we do, it's all about matchups and turnovers, right, when you get into the playoffs.
But nobody is more explosive. Right, but Pittsburgh managed to do it, and nobody was more explosive all year than Green Bay and the Giants. You know, so when you have a good defense, if they execute, it's just like, you know, when you have a great offense, if they execute, it's hard to stop them. Well, the same thing on defense. You know, and they have a damn good defense.
And that's what I said earlier.
And if they do it right, they can give the Patriots problems.
Both these units can set the tone for a game. The Patriots offense can change a game in the first quarter, and the game plays that way.
Yeah.
But the Ravens defense can do the
same
thing.
Now, I'm with Paul. I don't think that, you know, this year, you know, because the – forget about the defense. I think the offense is gelled. I mean, they had that little – time in the middle of the season where, you know, they start. But since then, they've really gelled. And despite everybody having Gronk and Hernandez on their radar, they're still producing. And to me, that's what I'm excited about going into the playoffs. The defense, I'm holding my breath. I gotta admit, I'm still holding my breath.
And again, you're playing against a team that's not overly high-powered, too. So that might help
you. And guys, one of the things I think is so important, and I know it was mentioned here and there, but, you know, they're primarily a run team. Face it, if we shut down Rice, they are toast. Because Flacco's damn sure not going to keep up with Brady. I don't care who we're playing against on D.
Well, when was the last time that's happened, though?
Well, I understand that.
Well, but that's why I think some people are a little bit, apprehensive. Like Freddie's been getting a little bit nervous as the week's gone on. The Patriots haven't really shut down a run game in a month and a half.
60% chance I give them. That's low for me.
It's very low for you.
But having a healthy Spikes and Chung back is certainly going to help.
Okay, were those two guys healthy in the first eight games?
We reached that point in the show where Paul fights a caller.
No, I hear that. I've been hearing that a lot. They were 5-3 in the first eight games, and those two guys played.
But the run defense wasn't as bad early.
No,
as
the run defense suffered with those two guys out. But I also disagree that if they shut down Rice, the game's over.
I don't think that.
I don't
at
think
all.
The game's over if they shut down Rice.
Certainly not after I just watched a montage of Joe Flacco's touchdown throws this
right.
year. He looked pretty good in that highlight.
Look,
clip.
If they sell out to Rice.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If
Flacco
they have to do that,
burn them.
If they have to do that to stop
anybody
Rice,
can burn them. How many quarterbacks do we have to see have like career games and career days against this secondary before you can say almost anybody can do it?
Right. Thanks for the call, Craig. Let's go to Chris in New York. Hey, Chris.
Hey, man. What's up, man? I'm living in New York.
Yes.
I'm sorry,
but I'm a Jamaican guy, so I don't know much about football. I taught myself by watching football and TV every Sunday when I just came to this country. So I don't know much about it, but I'm a huge Patriots fan. I won some money off of them the first time they won the Super Bowl in, 94?
The first one they won was in 2001. They went in 96.
Right, when they beat the Rams.
That's 2001.
Right. And I'm a Patriots fan. And
you became, okay.
Say again?
You became a Patriots fan in 2001,
kind of like Fred.
Yeah, so I'm not like a because I play soccer and cricket. I don't know much about football.
Okay,
but I got when we went.
These
to
are
the
our
finals,
people.
When we went to the finals with Giants, I went there. I went to a friend's house, a coworker of mine, and a bunch of Giants fans. I was the only Patriots fan. So I'm looking for payback this time. I'm looking to meet the Giants back in the finals because I had to sit down and put in a Giants jersey, man. They put me in front of the TV and embarrassed me. So
are those people still your friends? Will you watch it this year with them if they get there?
Yeah, I'm going back to the house.
Okay.
I'm wearing my Patriots jersey this time. Last time I didn't get one, but this time I'm going out and buy one. Whether we get to the finals or not, but I'm going there to buy one because I'm sure we get to the finals.
So remember, you're not, Chris, payback's a bitch,
and you're not Jamaican
exactly.
the same
that's
mistake
what I'm
twice.
Say. And I bet some money, and then when I told him this past Friday over the weekend, I said, "Look, nobody wanted to bet with me about the Denver. Everybody is like, no, they don't want to bet in that game." Everybody went to the Green Bay and said Green Bay is going to beat the Giants, but I knew that Green Bay was going to lose. But I'm really looking forward for that for the rematch.
Okay, you and us. I think that would be my preferred game.
Yes,
Giants
that would be
Patriots,
the most
just,
exciting game. Because that would be the money game right there.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I mean, a lot. I'm listening to. You know, Skip Bayless and ESPN the defense. The defense is not that great, but it's not that bad. Our defense is not great. I mean, a lot of teams throw 300s and they can run on us, but I don't think they're not that.
Well, I don't think it's as bad as what Chris Carter is saying. Who was it on ESPN or? Let's say, you know, this is the worst defense ever in the history of football.
Yeah, I don't think it's
they
that
couldn't
bad.
Beat a college team.
I think it's the worst defense in New England.
I don't think they had a worst defense.
And I don't, not even in New England history.
Oh,
it's probably
exactly.
been worse.
Oh, no. Oh. Well, I mean, Belichick.
Oh, yeah.
History.
Okay.
Yeah. The 1-15 team probably wasn't as good as this one.
Right. Modern era.
Right.
But I don't think that we are that bad that we can hold our own with
Baltimore.
With Baltimore.
Okay.
Well, I mean, their defense is good. I mean, you have to give them, you know, give a, they have a good defense, a suspect offense.
Right.
So, you know, I think with our offense and the defense that we have, I think we'll go to the finals. Like, I'm not, I'm not even iffy. I'm sure we're going to the final.
Oh. 99.9.
You're getting me nervous, Chris. All right. Thanks,
Chris.
All right. Call us after you, after the Super Bowl when you get your revenge.
I like how he voiced it, though. Our defense isn't that bad. We give up 300 yards passing, and they rush for 100 on us.
And teams can run on us.
Oh, what part of it isn't bad, then?
Let's go to Jim in Texas. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Fred. How are you? Great show. You guys are doing a heck of a job. I'm telling you. I'm excited about this game, too. But I'm not as crazy as some of the people saying, 99.9% sure. I'm back on Earth, unfortunately, for some of your callers. But I'm going to say 55-45 favorite pass.
Right.
We're at home. We're relatively healthy. We have the better coach, the better quarterback. They have the better defense. So I give them a slight advantage. But can they lose this game? Sure they can. It's a good team over there. And they play, again, a physical brand of football. In the playoffs, in my mind, and this goes back to what Andy would said, the refs do eat the whistle. I remember a couple of games we played Indianapolis where we were holding their receivers and there was a big cry after the game. Oh, the Patriots are dirty. And they changed the rules and then that five-yard no-chuck zone rule got put in place. So but that's playoff football. That's kind of – the refs traditionally don't call it that tight in the playoffs. And I agree with Andy, that is for the better of the game. They kind of let the players play a little more. Your thoughts on that?
No question. I want the game decided by players on the field. I like stars making big plays and let them play.
Yeah, I'm with Andy on that. Now, if there's blatant penalties, I want them called because that impacts the game
too. Right. And they're going to.
But I like the fact that, you know, they're making it be egregious. You know, like, you know, the roughing the passers are the ones that really, you know, the pass interferences, those are the ones. If you're going to call, I have no problem calling it pass interference if it needs to be called. You know, if it's a situation where there's, you know, an unfair advantage gained by the defender, I don't care that it's 55 yards or whatever many yards. If it's there, call it.
But make sure that's obvious.
Yeah.
And how many times during the regular season do you see a flag that comes out late on either the roughing the passer or on the pass interference? Don't call those. Call the ones where
as soon as you see it,
everybody's reaching for it and throwing it. Call that one, but don't. Well, he might have.
If you have to think about it, don't
think it wasn't. Yeah.
Because we've been talking a lot about how great it is that the refs have sort of changed their approach in the playoffs. But I don't want to make it sound like, you know, I just don't think there should be any penalties called in the game because that impacts the game too.
That's not fair at all.
Right.
You know,
it's a little unfair.
Thanks,
to
Jim, for the call.
Change the way you call a game in the postseason. That's a little unfair.
And don't you think there's been a clear edict?
Oh yeah.
Based on what you've seen,
Fred. Somebody called Felger yesterday and said, "I got a mole, and my brother works in the league office, and he said that they were told they told all the officials to put their flags away unless it's egregious, don't call it." And I don't know whether that guy knows anything or not, but I hope so. I like that.
Tony make fun of
him? Oh, yeah, of course. But there's a little part of me that thinks it's unfair. You pay a full 16-game season with one set of rules.
Right.
But they've already done that with overtime rules, so they prove there's different rules.
No, but
you know, hockey playoff, NBA final,
yeah,
it's all
sure
the
I like
same.
It. I'm not sure I like it.
No, but how about a team that didn't make the playoffs because they lost one game that was decided on a real ticky-tack call?
Especially this day and age, these six seeds that make the playoffs and go on runs.
They can make runs.
If one of these teams got screwed on a call that would never be called in the postseason, that ain't fair.
Yeah. Let's see. Todd writes in, great show yesterday. Rare for Fred to get Andy going like he does to Paul once a month. Now it's Eric's turn.
Once a month. He'll never get Eric going like that because he doesn't have enough confidence in anything to argue that well.
My fear in this game is like the Giants game. Brady was seeing ghosts from 07, and the key for the Ravens is Haloti Ngata. I give us 52%. I just don't have a good feeling. Todd.
Wow.
And yes,
we started at like 100.
99.9 was the first one. Christian was 85.5. Now we're 55.50. They've dropped below me and Fred because I'm at 60.40. I'm actually with Fred. I think it's a 60.40.
I might be a little bit more confident than you two then.
But 52.
But not much. I'm around where you guys are.
Next stop is somebody's going to pick the Ravens.
JC, our advantage.
Pick the Ravens.
Our advantage is we're playing at home. Do not underestimate the Ravens' D to disrupt Brady. He will have to throw under fire. Rice is still a beast, but I like the fact that Flacco has not progressed from last year. Flacco is the key to this game.
I totally agree with that.
Hope he plays his road game, 24-20 Patriots in a smash-mouth game.
Well, I don't like the Patriots in that score.
I think it'll be in the 20s.
If it's that low in the 20s, then I don't like the Patriots. I think they got to get it up over 27, 28. 31, you know, in that area. Because I think the Ravens are going to get to 24 or so.
I do, too. I think it's a dogfight.
Let's see. Johnny in Leeds. Hey, guys and gals, if Lindsay Petrucci's listening. Not really totally football related. However, being in England, I find it hard to get people to watch the games with or anywhere to watch the games apart from my home. Not much to my surprise. I hear on your show and on Adam Jones's show, Scott from Leeds, England. Well, this is Johnny from Leeds, England. So not only may I have found an NFL fan nearby, I may have found a Pats fan from nearby. Hey, man, this is a shout-out. You want to grab some beers together and watch the game on Sun? Not Miller Lights, though, Paul. However, I could bring some Foster's or Carling. Big P.S., I'm not a weirdo. I am married with two kids and just want someone other than my wife to watch the games with so I don't have to spend 3 hours every week explaining the rules. Let me know, Scott, and cheers, PFW guys, if you could make it happen. So Scott from Leeds, Johnny from Leeds is looking for someone to watch the game with.
And he's
Leeds.
Not even a weirdo.
Not in a gay way.
Of course.
Right.
What was the phrase? No homo? What was that the phrase the players went through for a while?
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody was tweeting that.
Yeah. Which I'm pretty sure is probably not the most politically correct way to.
It's probably
to
why it went away.
Probably why you shouldn't do it.
Oh, I should.
Let's see. Brandon writes in. I noticed Spikes. Today in Suggs' ESPN interview, he was more reserved, even with the chiclet teeth. I wonder if it was a warning from coaches or an understanding of the magnitude of the game.
Yeah, I think it's an understanding of the magnitude of the game, and maybe a warning from Ray Lewis.
What'd you think of the Ed Reed stuff on Flacco?
Not great.
I'm serious.
Not great. Not good.
You think it was intentional?
I'm not sure it was a good idea.
I'm wondering if he.
Because I think he's proving himself soft like goo.
I think he's too smart to have let himself get carried away and say things he didn't want to say.
Certainly too specific.
Do you know what I mean?
I mean, he's actually referencing specific plays with coverages and everything.
Dan in Charlottesville, Virginia, the Rams played Baltimore in week 3 this year, so Josh McDaniels has seen their defense in person in 2011. The Rams lost 37-7, but it still should have given McDaniels some insight into the Ravens' scheme against a Patriots-style offense. Do you guys think the recent experience will help the Patriots coaching staff prepare for Baltimore this weekend?
I think he could be a bigger help this week than last.
I agree.
You do?
I think he will help. I think that's part of the reason why they wanted him to come on board immediately, is because he had some experience going against the various teams that they could see. You know, San Francisco is another one that the Rams played twice.
Giants, too.
And the Giants, it'll be interesting to see if they're able to extrapolate any of that.
We'll never know.
No, but I do think that's probably an element that could help.
That's why they're going to close the loophole.
Peter,
I don't think it's a
Peter in Texas wants to know what uniforms are the Ravens wearing, white jerseys, white pants, or white jerseys, black pants? Are we wearing the home blue jerseys? Any chance we wear the throwbacks for the Super Bowl?
No.
I doubt it.
I'd be stunned if we weren't in our regular blue.
We'll be in blues,
at
I'm
home.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know what the Ravens – I mean, the Ravens will wear white shirts, but I don't know what they'll wear. Do they wear white or white with black?
I thought they always have the black with the white.
I know they wore purple with black last week at home.
Purple shirts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With black pants, though.
Yeah, but they can't wear the purple shirts if we're in blue, so they'll have to wear their white and black.
I feel like him. I said, I know they'll wear white. I don't know what color pants they'll wear.
They don't have purple pants?
I don't know.
No, they wear those black pants.
No, I know they have those. Yeah. I thought they had purple,
which
too.
I don't like. Remember we're talking about it makes them look feminine.
Yeah, they remind me of – we had a few receivers in the early 2000s, Shockmane Davis and guys that would wear those to practice, just black leggings like T.O. likes to wear. And
right.
Their junk's just in
your
face.
Well, yeah.
you must have liked it.
Sean,
you always talk about it.
Who was the receiver we used to have?
Jefferson.
Sean Jefferson used to wear that, and he'd – be running down and the junk would be all over the place and it was just like
uncomfortable.
Yeah, just put that away, you know, bind it up somehow.
A total different question, Fred. I know you tend to react to these things. The trophy, did you get the up close look at it? Do you like it?
No,
like
it's just a new AFC championship trophy.
Well, I think they had it last year.
Okay.
But it's not the old,
it's new to us.
Lamar Hunt wood medal.
Yeah,
it's new to us, and it was on the podium today. It's in the shape of a football, but only like four pieces.
Yeah, I've seen the graphic.
But you
of
didn't
it.
See it.
No, I didn't. Yeah.
It's fine looking.
Did
I like
tradition. Did you tweet it out?
What do you mean?
Everybody was taking pictures of it.
Oh, no. I was too far back.
Remember the year?
I arrived on time, so I was late.
Remember 2001? You know, on Friday, the coaches do their press conference, and Bill, you know, refused to touch the trophy, and Mike Martz basically made love to it.
Yeah. But he looked at it.
I love when you say that.
He looked down and
smirked.
He looked down and smirked at it with the trophy and the two helmets. He gave it a little.
You think he was smirking as if to say, how many times have I said it's an honor to play in this game? Yeah.
He was in a fine mood.
Then I was following the tweets from the press conference, and it was amazing. It had to be at least 18 different people. BB, quote, it's an honor to play in this game. So you're saying it's an honor to play in this game. I just wanted to tweet everybody back.
Molly from Pennsylvania, I know we can't take much from the Broncos game, but I do think the individual matchups were some things that really stood out, specifically the D-line. I think they did a great job against a pretty good Broncos line. They were explosive, quick, and they broke through their blocks well. Since the Ravens' O-line is not as good as the Broncos, do you think they will have as good a game, if not better, than against the Broncos? If they can get pressure and play as well as they did last week, I can see a long day for the Ravens' offense. Now, Paul, you would know better because you the
offensive line.
The Ravens' offensive line is much different than the Broncos' offensive line, isn't it? I mean, they play a different style.
I know that the Broncos, I don't know anything about the styles, to be honest with you. I know what I know of tradition for the Broncos.
Hoping to get a little insight.
Well, I don't.
Guy writes a preview. You'd think he knows.
Do the Broncos still use the old zone blocking schemes that they used 100 years ago? I don't know. It's a whole different offense.
Well, it's a whole option, but it's all based on movement and getting out of your, you know.
In general, theirs is smaller and the Patriots and the Ravens is bigger.
Is that what they still have now?
Well, what they have
those guys
now,
have been gone for years.
No, but Josh had the same thing because he had the type of O-line we
he
run
did.
Here,
I didn't know
which
that.
Which is an undersized O-line.
And
the
I do
Ravens
know that
have
those
a guy
guys
by the name of Mount McKinney at left tackle. That guy doesn't play.
And they got the blind side guy.
But Clady's pretty big, right?
No, he's more athletic. I mean, he's big. I mean, they're all big. Matt Light's 315 pounds.
And the other thing is they were missing guys last week. That the guard Kipper, what's the guy's name? Supposedly, you know, one of their better
Scott Cooper
linemen didn't play in the game. But Baltimore's line to me, by name and on paper, looks a lot better than it plays. Every time I see Baltimore play, they seem like they can't protect Flacco in passing situations. If it's 3rd and 8, the other team's going to get pressure.
Mm. Yeah, it's
now they look like they have the makings of a good offensive line.
Some of people say that's Flacco's fault.
Well, it wasn't
it
wasn't on Sunday. Yeah. I mean, they were coming through there like, you know, it was a sieve. They couldn't do anything.
You know what's really weird? We had our exact normal media time today, and I'm just thinking, like, there are 3 East Coast teams. I'm watching Tom Coughlin live now. Baltimore.
You mean it's not a conspiracy against the Patriots?
How did we get our exact time slot we wanted?
Go figure.
I don't know.
Maybe because we were the number one seed out of those teams?
Maybe.
Frank in Colorado. Fred, supposing we get to the Super Bowl and lose to the Giants, what bridge should we all meet on? By we, I mean us fans. If you could see into the future, would you rather we lose this week? Personally, I'm already trying to get myself emotionally prepared. On the other hand, if we win, how about we meet on that bridge and celebrate by tossing Andy off of it? I'd say Paul, too, but, you know, he's a bit heavy.
Plus Bumble's bounce.
I am not.
I'd rather lose this week.
No.
If you're going to lose, I'd rather lose this week.
Me, too.
Well, yeah, if you know you're going to lose.
It's like that lottery ticket when you're reading your numbers and you go, whoa, I got the first one. I got the second one. I got the third one. I got the fourth. Oh, I don't have the fifth one. I'd rather just lose on the first one than get all worked up and think I had a chance to win.
Yeah, but part of you know, we forget because, you know, 07, it seems like such a long time ago. But that week before the Super Bowl is exciting. It really is.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
I could have done without us.
Well,
I mean, if you get there, you got to win it.
I know.
Yeah, the worst thing is going and losing.
I know. But I enjoy, you know, the excitement and the build up and by Saturday I'm really burned out. I just want to get to the game, but you know, it's exciting.
I don't really enjoy that aspect of it at all. I don't enjoy
you're a crusty
curmudgeon. No.
You make everything negative.
This is long before I ever was working in it. I hate the 2 weeks for the Super Bowl because
Paul was 10 years old. The Super Bowl. Who needs
it? It's tiresome.
Screw you.
I'm talking more like when I was 20, you know, 25. But the 2 weeks to me is long. It's tedious. It's paralysis by analysis. Every aspect, element. You know, Andy was joking yesterday about which matchups. And can you imagine how sick you would be of Harbaugh against Harbaugh.
Oh, that,
for
yes.
2 weeks? Well, yeah. Well, so you wouldn't, I mean, is
well,
it just
other
because
people are going to say that about, ooh, Patriots-Giants rematch. If
or
not really
or
involved.
Brady against that, his boyhood
right.
team,
I still think
you know?
It's exciting.
See, I think the game itself is ridiculously exciting, but I don't really find the build-up to be
exciting. I'm not talking about from a fan. I'm talking about from a work standpoint.
Yeah.
There's a lot
I feel
to
like,
do.
You know what I feel like?
What?
I feel like never at any time do I do more work to have less people care about it.
Oh, that's not true. Our numbers are huge.
I feel, but I don't feel like they, there's a difference
Paul,
between,
people care.
There's a difference between somebody clicking on the website and somebody really getting into what you're doing. And I don't think people get into it. I think there's too much.
Well,
I don't, I just think that there's
too
much
to
keep
track
of. Maybe by
the end of the week, but I think, you know, judging by, you know, historically our website numbers.
Oh,
I
don't,
through the roof.
I don't doubt that, but I just think that they're looking for what's going on that day. They're not reading it. Do you know what I'm saying? They like, you're clicking on, a link of, you know, Belichick says it's an honor to be in the championship game. And they're not really reading the story, I don't feel. I don't feel like a lot of people are interested in the minutiae that we
go
through.
The only thing I could do away with completely is that media day. I think
I totally agree.
So
totally agree with you with that.
It's the same stupid thing every week.
But it's the same thing every day.
Yeah. You know, the only
except,
thing is,
except for they're not in uniform.
Who did Azteca send? That's the only thing that is worth you know showing up for.
Easy.
What?
Been some NFL scandals with her.
But
oh,
really? I think the meat of Jets.
Right. Yeah, the Jets. Well, yeah,
you're
Jets.
A team employee.
The
you
meat of
it.
Media day to me is the same Tuesday, Wednesday,
yeah, it's
Thursday.
Groundhog
it's the same day. You're only, instead of being in the stadium
right.
with uniforms
yeah,
on,
it's not the
you're in a hotel ballroom
yeah.
with players sitting right. at round tables.
But it's not the nonsense that
yeah,
goes
but,
on media.
But we're not really doing the nonsense.
I know, but we're doing the work, and I enjoy it. It gets me going. Like, I can't wait. I hope we win, you know, so that we can get down there and get into it.
Kevin has some breaking news he'd like to chime in with since he read it.
What's that?
I don't want to misquote him.
Tom Brady is not at practice.
Okay.
Okay. I saw him all day today, so he's fine.
He had just a press conference, right?
You know, before we see the scrolling thing on ESPN. Tom Brady is fine.
Is he?
It was a funny.
When you knocked over his. Wait a minute. When you knocked over a luggage rack, did right. it land on him?
I don't know did if it I land should, on his I don't know if I should be saying this, but it happened in the locker room, so I guess I can.
Yes.
Okay. So, Patrick.
I'm telling him.
Patrick.
Oh, you don't know what he's going to say?
Patrick
no.
Chung. Oh. Patrick Chung is in the equipment room, and he's talking to the equipment guys, and there's one guy I don't recognize. He was a national guy, and they were talking about the quarterback coming out of Oregon. Okay. And so this guy's going on and on.
Can't
to Patrick.
Believe he's leaving early, by the way. Go ahead.
Yeah, so that's what they were talking about. He's going on and on talking about, you know, Patrick Chung, how the guy's not ready. He shouldn't be coming out. And, Pat, you know, obviously Chung is interested because that's his school. So Tom Brady comes over with a box, and I guess he needed the equipment guys to, you know, do something with the box. And this guy, who I've never seen before, sees it's Tom Brady and just starts telling Tom Brady, yeah, he shouldn't be coming out. And Tom Brady goes, who are we talking about? He goes, you know, the quarterback from Oregon. And Tom's like, yeah, okay. And just walks away. It's like he really cares about the quarterback from Oregon well, coming
the,
out to
maybe
early.
The guy was mad and kidnapped him.
Yeah. I don't know who this guy was anyway. Eric's here.
By the way, after
speaking
you told
of Brady,
the story,
yeah.
I'm not sure things that happened in the equipment room are concerned.
Well, no, he was standing out
locker.
With us. I was standing with Moose. We were right next to
yeah,
him.
That sound, a, that yeah, that sounded pretty pretty harmless.
No, I know, but had it happened in the equipment room and was not harmless, I don't think we should say it.
Well, then I wouldn't have.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of Brady.
Yes.
We have not seen him since his press conference and your incident with him in the locker room.
Correct.
Yeah. Heave, sigh, breath, gasp.
Can they win this game with Hoyer playing quarterback?
No. Yes.
No.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
He's 60-40 with Brady.
Brady. And they're at least 51 with Hoyer.
Well, yeah, so you asked if they can. I said they can.
No bleeping way.
Any indication
I mean, technically,
where
it could
is?
Be 199. He can. Yeah, they
I
can.
Mean, he
looks
fine.
Chance.
He was walking around the locker room. He, you know.
My, you know, he
until
has
you knocked
had
a luggage rack on him.
He has had a couple of non-injury related days off in recent weeks. Right. So
very odd time
it
to
is
do
the
that.
AFC
very odd
game.
Time to do it, I agree.
Well,
they
he
have
wasn't
a pretty
there
good
when
defense.
You guys were out there.
My guess is he's practicing. You just
right. It's probably going to end up saying limited.
For whatever reason, he wasn't there when you guys were.
It wouldn't shock me if it said did not participate, not injury related.
Okay.
Maybe
so
his
I wouldn't
chest
guess.
Filled up with fluid like Tim Tebow's.
I mean, now, if
I
that
still
is,
don't understand why he didn't just heal himself.
If that's the case.
Miyagi-san.
If that's the case, should, I mean, are we questioning, like, okay, it's Wednesday. The game's on Sunday. Mm. Can you really be taking a day off?
If he were getting a 100% day off, I'd be questioning it.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's the case, so I'm not
And
worried.
I think if he does have the DNP, non-injury-related, there'll be a specific reason for it, not because we just decided, you know, it's a veteran day. You
right.
know, we wanted to limit his reps. You know, I don't think that will be the reason. Something will have been the reason for it. We'll never know, like Andy said earlier about McDaniel's impact on the game plan.
But all they, right. You know, they were out there in shells. Everybody else was there.
Do we have the countdown into when this will be on NFL Network or SportsCenter?
Tom Brady, New England, did not practice.
Surprised it isn't already.
Should be. Break into Tom Coughlin. Sorry, well, so they're in shells today?
Well, let's get more specific. Has the Globe reported this yet?
Oh, right.
When the Globe reports that's when ESPN will put it on the scroll.
That's a good point, Paul.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
No, he's right.
Yeah. Anything else, Eric?
That's fact.
I mean, Aaron Hernandez was there, which is a good sign, coming off of his semi-concussion.
He is the shake in the shake and quake.
Yes, although Rob Gronkowski prefers Boston TE party.
Fred does not.
No,
it could be a great cover for PFW.
It's
already been done.
But that's
stealing.
I know, but I mean, it would have been nice.
Other people steal from us and we allow
them. No, I know.
In writing, looks good, but saying it, you can't say Boston TE party.
He can just say tea party,
but then you have to stop and think.
Yeah, it's definitely a headline.
Yes.
It's something that needs to be read.
Yeah. Oh yeah, visual. Yeah, it's definitely a visual. But he said they're going to sit down and do their own. They're going to come up with something. You know, they're going to put their heads together.
Lord only knows what that'll.
You know, boobs will be involved.
Well, it does concern
boobs and chuckles.
Yeah. Let's hope they worry about that after the next 3 weeks.
Right.
Not a lot of serious football questions for them. I was listening to both of them and like,
because I think people
knew, you settle on the spike?
Well, because I think people knew that they would get those kind of answers from them.
Yeah, but you might
ask a real question.
Like when I go to Brandon Spikes today and Mike Giardi asked him, you know, about the crowd last week and how loud it was here at Gillette, and he said,
yeah,
it was nice. And I said, how does it compare to the Swamp? And he was just like, not even close.
Yeah. Let's go to the phone.
That's
funny. Your play doesn't compare to the Swamp either.
Pow, pow.
See, that's why they hate me, because I'd fire back. So I'd be ripping the crowd all year, but all of a sudden, no, that's my crowd. Don't you rip my crowd. You weren't the same player.
It's kind
of
like us on PFW
exactly.
In Progress.
Brandon in California is on the line. Hey, Brandon.
Yeah, how's it going?
Good. How are
Brandon?
You doing?
Yeah, I'm good right now.
You high?
But,
you sound like it.
Is it 420 there?
Oh.
Hell yeah. But,
I guess so.
Gotta make me laugh, man. All right.
Want some Doritos?
Going into the game, I'm pretty confident because I believe the refs may play a big part in this game. Because like, after watching the Packers game, you could tell that, you know, they favor a team that will make them more money because that fumble.
You think they favored the Packers in that game against the Giants?
I think they tried to favor them, but after it got out of hand, it was like, what can we do to make them, you know?
Oh, so you think they tried to fix it?
Yeah, because Aaron Rodgers right now is the highest-selling jersey, so if he's making it to the Super Bowl, that would just bring more and more people.
Yeah,
but,
I'm a conspiracy theorist, but I'm not going there.
I mean, he's a fumble, right?
Huh? I thought it was a fumble.
Oh, it was definitely a fumble. It was a bad call all the way around.
I don't really understand why they didn't overturn.
It's not the first time we've seen bad calls.
I don't understand why they didn't overturn that.
Yeah.
And then that the roughing
was an equally bad call. Yep.
The dude just pretty much tapped him
But at least the roughing call is a judgment call.
Right.
To me, the fumble's not a judgment.
Yeah, you had a chance.
Either was down or not.
Right. You had a chance to look at it. He was not down.
And then after, you know, coming off this physical game with Denver, I think they're going to be, you know, have that same physical play against the Ravens rush. And then, you know how you guys said that, oh, they still rush for 145 yards? They rush the ball like 40 times, so, you know, they're bound to get over 100 if you're rushing the ball 40 times.
That's true.
Yep.
What was their yards per carry?
That's what they do.
Yeah.
No, the Patriots did a great job. Patriots did a great job defensively.
Yeah. And, well, hopefully, you know, they attack the runner like they did last game because it was like 11 men to the ball, like every play. I like that.
Okay. Thanks.
So that's it.
All right, Brandon.
Thanks, Brandon.
Thanks for calling in. Let's go to, where's my car? Anthony in Naples. Hey, Anthony.
Jeez, is that Mayor Menino's cousin or something?
No, it's Brandon from California.
No, he mumbles like him.
Wait, did you hear Menino recently Wes Welkler.
What do you call Gronkowski?
Grabowski.
The
big
Weckler.
Grabowski.
Grabowski, and the game is being played at Patriot Stadium.
It's embarrassing. It really is. It's the mayor of a major city in the United States.
Yeah.
For a long time. The joke's on him. I think they just re-elect him because it's funny.
I'm going to laugh all the way to his statue.
I honestly would re-elect him just to hear him talk more. I think it's just, you know, that typical Massachusetts humor. Like, look at this jackass.
You don't think he's pulling a Belichick and doing the yearbook in my face thing on purpose?
No.
Do you?
No.
I don't.
No. No chance. Yeah. Zero.
Like a Polian thing, you know, like or what I
the
do.
Pat Rotz or
yeah.
Polian.
Mispronounce things on purpose.
No, I think he does what you do. He's a clown like you.
What's up, Anthony?
Oh, well, I just want to say I got like 2 or 3 things, so you don't hang up on me quickly, Fred. You got to get the habit of doing that.
All right, Anthony, thanks for the call.
Yeah,
we make no promises.
No shit. Oops.
Oh, all right. That's
gotta
it.
Go. He's swearing. Yep. Sorry about that.
That's our swear rule.
Oh, he really did.
It's our rule. If
it
you
is
swear,
a rule.
You get kicked off.
Well, that's not the
unless
rule.
You're a host.
Right.
That's not the first time that Anthony
poor
has
Anthony,
done that.
He really
lets it slip.
But he wasn't even mad this time. Yeah.
Well, that's like the time I did. Like they go down right down the effing field. I was like, and why did I just say that?
But that's because we make everybody comfortable. You're just sitting around talking football, and you feel like you're at
the
bar.
Forget about the microphones,
right?
And the headphones
it's just
and
natural.
Everything.
We're all friends. It's a big fan club.
Rich in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Fred is right. You can't judge the strength of schedule till the season's over. As a resident of Minnesota,
Dick
I am biased in my hatred toward the Packers, so I decided to use numbers to figure out why they lost in their first playoff game. I found the answer. You can't just look at the teams they played and say that they played good teams. They played a lot of bad teams and a few good ones, but the good ones were slumping when they played the Pack. I looked at I looked at the outcome of the 3 games that each opponent played before playing the Packers and totaled an opponent win percentage based on those numbers for both the Packers and the Patriots for comparison.
Anything to figure out something positive.
The Packers opponents won 33.3% of their 3 games prior to playing the Packers, while the Patriots opponents won 59.5% of the 3 games prior to playing the Patriots. So there you go, guys. Proof that the Packers, while still a good team, I'm not arguing that, had a cream puff schedule that took them into the postseason. Once they played a good hot team, they crumbled, while the Patriots have played tough and hot teams, and that has been a factor in their postseason blowout success. That's what I call satisfaction.
I like that he's happy with himself for coming up with something.
Hey, you know, I like it.
But your guy.
Who's my guy?
You know your guy.
Which one?
The most influential man in Boston media.
Oh, Michael Felger.
Yes.
Okay.
Yesterday, he goes on this whole rant. I used to think it mattered who you played during the year, blah, blah, blah. But last year, the Patriots played all these tough teams, and they lost in the postseason, so it doesn't matter.
I'll tell you why.
And then your other guy goes, there's no doubt about it. You're exactly right, Mike.
I'll tell you why.
Are you freaking kidding me? It doesn't matter who you played during the season?
Because Mike Felger's analysis
is an idiot. He's an idiot.
He's completely gone away from any sort of analytical look. It's all scoreboard related.
Right.
Everything is based on scoreboard. So last year now, it doesn't matter that they beat every good team in football, and most of which handily down the stretch because they lost one football game in the divisional playoffs.
So he wipes out all the actual wins. Like
right.
Even if he
they don't count because they lost the playoff game.
Even if he had a Paul Perillo win-based formula, he puts one victory above all else comparing it to the other 14. How stupid
Listen,
is it? And
no
one team. Maybe that was just a flawed team. In the history of the game, you're telling me it has no bearing. Now, I understand Bill's thing. What you actually do on Sunday is not any bearing. But it's a barometer of what you are capable of doing.
Sure.
When you play good
and no
teams,
one's suggesting,
how do you play? How do you do this?
No one's suggesting that if the Patriots win the Super Bowl, and they'll have done it by really, they have a possibility of beating 2 good teams all year. Sunday and then whoever they play in the Super Bowl. No one's suggesting they give the title back. Not their fault that all the other teams crumbled. Like pathetic messes. You know, the Jets turn into a puddle.
But I'm
and
just Phillip looking
Rivers
at it.
Turned into a puddle, and Peyton Manning got hurt. It's not the Patriots' fault.
I'm just looking at it from a talk radio analytical perspective that a guy can just totally dismiss a season because once a team that was great was upset, fell on its face at home for whatever reason, now that rule is out there. And no one ever calls him on it. And that's why I get annoyed at your guy, Tony. Because he literally...
You're confusing everybody with guys.
He
no one
literally...
Knows
he's not
about.
Listening.
He literally just went, well, there's no doubt about it, Mike. You're right. What are you... Are you kidding me? That's and it's like the Moss thing.
when they got rid of Moss, they were going to be a better postseason team. They were going to be better suited because they didn't have me guys. They'd have we guys, and they'd make, and everything was going to be better. The defense was better. And they fell on their face. So does that make you wrong about Moss because they weren't better?
He has these basic tenets that he thinks that are the be-all, end-all.
But he never calls himself
on them. You can't
on
be one of these high-flying, spread-them-out, finesse teams. But now all of a sudden, Randy Moss isn't here anymore.
Well, so that's why I like Paul on
And what should
show.
The Patriots do?
Well, they got to have somebody
that's
to call
why
him,
Paul
Tony
should be
doesn't.
The co-host, and Tony should be the guest on Wednesday.
Well, somebody needs to challenge him.
But what should the Patriots
What's
do on Sunday, according to Mike Felder?
I haven't really heard Paul in there. Does he challenge him?
Not lately.
Oh.
He needs that $25 check.
Oh, I thought we had a discussion about what was
on
air and off air.
Oh, was I not supposed to say that?
Well, not if we're going to try to hold up another company for more.
Well, okay. But in all seriousness, he can't go unchallenged. Because then he just...
I don't let him go unchallenged on certain
things.
Tony
does.
It just annoys me sometimes that it's... You know, Randy, he has like this idea. You can't win with guys like Randy Moss. So... They can play a certain style with Randy Moss. The reason they lost is because of Randy Moss.
Right.
They're playing the same exact style right now that they did in 2007. It's an offense-based team, a passing-based team, so they don't throw the ball 50 yards downfield to Randy Moss all the time. They're still throwing it the vast majority of times for a high percentage, and Tom Brady is the straw that makes it all go.
But you're
he
making it even bigger than
He's
that.
The guy.
How about the fact that he said, you lost to Baltimore, you weren't a good tough postseason team anymore because you have Randy Moss. They trade Randy Moss, and they prove themselves that season not a tough postseason team. They do the exact same thing. They get blown off their home field, outplayed physically and mentally, right? And yet he doesn't say, oh, I was wrong.
But
That's
he
stupid.
Thinks, and he thinks it's just a matter of circumstance that they haven't really had to play a lot of tough teams this year, and they're winning. Like, he ignores the fact that, well, geez, that team that they played last year, they beat a lot of good teams last year to go 14-2. They beat Pittsburgh on the road. They beat Indianapolis at home. They beat the Jets down the stretch. They beat Chicago at Chicago in a blizzard. They beat Green Bay even though it was without Aaron Rodgers. They beat every good team the NFL had to offer last year, so they lost in the playoffs. Upsets happen. That's why we watch sports. If we knew who was going to win every game, why would we watch? Right? Sometimes the better team doesn't win.
I'm not arguing.
And I'm not saying the Jets weren't a better team on that in that game last
You're right,
year. I'm
Paul.
Just saying.
You're exactly right, Paul.
Sometimes
that's what
the better,
Tony would say.
But there are, sometimes upsets happen.
Yeah.
That's why we watch these games.
And that's why this show is good. You know why? Because when we have a theory, people may get sick of
well,
the arguments.
The other thing
we
that,
argue it.
But the other thing that Felger did is he turned that loss, well, not the Ravens loss, but particularly last year, the loss as an indictment on everything. The
but
whole
that's
system.
That's my point. And
the
now
whole system
if,
is
But
wrong.
Now if they win...
Right.
It's going to be because Moss isn't here and you've embraced the team concept again. You found your way.
Even though it
it's
didn't work last
It's the Patriots' way.
No, the Moss one was the
You
the
found
Ravens
your soul.
Was Moss.
That was the year before.
You were a corrupt, rotten team
remember?
From within
right.
because
remember?
You had Moss.
They, no,
he did
they
say,
lost their soul.
Look, he did say, and you know, he'll go to his grave saying he was right, that when they, after they get rid of Moss, there'll be a better offense. You can make an argument they weren't, they were,
They didn't
at
miss
least as good.
They did not miss Moss.
Yeah, they were at least
but they
as
went
good.
Equally as
but
far. They lost
see,
in the postseason.
I would argue.
I don't think that had anything to do with
but
the,
I would argue,
the Ravens.
I would argue for him that he was right. They stayed the same offensively without Moss. But he thinks he was wrong.
Right.
Why? Because they lost the playoff game.
Yeah.
Scoreboard. Any moron can just say, well, they lost the game. Or they won the game. Everybody can see.
We managed to get into an argument with somebody not here.
Well, because somebody has to. And any moron can't, because that moron didn't.
Wow.
A lot of morons in that
yeah.
sentence, Andy.
I think he challenges him more than you give him credit
I've
for.
I've yet to, I literally clicked
well,
off yesterday.
On baseball.
Literally
oh,
yesterday.
He never agrees with him on baseball on
yeah.
anything.
Tony yeah. said, you're exactly right, Mike, and that wasn't out of his click. If you're not going to actually talk and have a discussion, then what am I listening for?
Well, did you ever think that maybe he is misguided too?
No, I think he just agrees with Mike because he's not confident enough in his views on football.
I think he's just wrong.
Is that why you almost had a heart attack arguing with Fred yesterday?
Because we argue.
Oh,
isn't that what a debate is about?
I went to the bathroom in the middle. I could hear them when I was.
Paul ran out.
Well, that was a different issue.
Steven in Miami says, all these overconfident callers are making me nervous, and I had to help counter it. We may have a horrible defense,
we
and
have
I've
no
got.
Chance.
We may have a horrible defense and have gotten off to a slow start 3 out of 4 weeks, but all we got to do is put up over 30 on the top 5 defense. Oh, okay, cakewalk. Might as well not even watch. I am confident in the offense, but to be honest, I'm worried about all 3 of the other teams left. I watched the Ravens dismantle the Steelers and the Niners. I watched the Niners beat the Saints and the Giants beat the Packers. I had been praying that Houston would beat Baltimore, but that was only because they had a rookie quarterback. If Matt Schaub had been healthy, I'd be worried about all these teams. Nothing is guaranteed going forward, and fortunately, I trust the team not to sleep on anyone, unlike the fans.
Well, you should be worried about any team that makes it this far in the postseason. I just think that this...
A lot of fans aren't, though.
No, I know they're not, but I just have the feeling that this team isn't going to take for granted
the postseason. But
no
fans, I hear a lot of fans, I just can't see the Patriots losing this game.
Well, I don't care what the fans say.
That's what we're talking about.
But teams don't take AFC championship games
There's
lightly.
No way the Patriots are taking. No way.
That's not the issue. The issue
I'm telling
are
you,
they
Tom
good
Brady
enough?
Has right. Terrell Suggs in his sleep right now.
And I'm not worried about Tom Brady. The issue is, are they good enough? Is Antoine Molden good enough to be on the football field with Torrey Smith?
With Anquan Boldin.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that this week.
How about that? We finally get that matchup. Antoine Molden.
That's not a matchup
Anquan
we're looking
Molden.
For, is it?
He just dismisses us.
No, I didn't know what you were talking
played
about.
Tony. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I didn't say you're right.
So you just
I said the opposite. I had no interest in it whatsoever.
Well, I know you like to mock it, but it's an actual possibility. Like, he plays for us.
Yeah.
He's in the top five rotation at defensive back, so you could see that matchup.
It could happen.
And if you watch the highlight footage I just saw, you'll see Anquan Boldin making a lot of plays, because when they cut those Joe Flacco plays together, they look good.
Graham writes in, I just consulted my Magic 8 Ball, asking if the Patriots are going to beat the Ravens.
I think Brandon had the Magic 8 Ball.
Oh. First it said, Hazy, try again. So I did.
That was Brandon.
It then did something I'd never seen before, coming up with one of the edges balanced against the answer window, teetering between two answers, kind of like a flip coin landing on an edge. I leaned it one way, and the answer was yes. As a lifelong Pats and Red Sox fan, beginning in the 70s, full of skepticism and pessimism, I could not simply accept that answer and be done. I had to lean it the other way and see what horror might lie in the adjacent panel. To my surprise, it was not a picture of David Tyree, Ray Rice, Rex Ryan, Peyton Manning, Jim McMahon, Ken Stabler, Desmond Howard, Champ Bailey, Bill Buckner, Bucky Dent, or the bucket of Popeye's chicken that takes turns haunting my nightmares. Instead, it said, it is certain. Enough said. No need to worry. Paul can nod. Snagglepuss in Vegas. Oh, Vegas can run with the money line,
Vegas.
And you can. Well, he spelt it differently. And you can book your hotel in Indy. All's good here in Albuquerque. Well, that's good.
Good news.
The Magic 8 Ball has said it is certain.
Thankfully, we don't have to book a hotel room.
We might have to.
Okay.
What makes you think you're going to be in a hotel room?
They're called motels.
Can we just go to the JW from the start, from the get-go?
No, I think you would have had to have booked that already.
Really?
What's the JW?
The media
hotel. The media hotel.
Oh, is that, yeah.
The glass structure that looks like it's straight out of Vegas.
We're not going to talk about that yet. Super Bowl.
What?
We're focusing on the AFC.
Deion Branch wouldn't. I actually asked him. He kept saying, you know, and if we're happy enough to advance to the next round in the event. And I go, are you actually not allowed
about
to say the word Super Bowl?
Did you hear about his tweet yesterday? He had a tweet out. I think it was up for 22 minutes before it was taken down.
Right.
About, I forget exactly what it said, but basically.
He said, anybody know of anything? Good parties.
Good
in
parties
Indy?
In Indy yeah. for Super Bowl week.
Maybe he thought he was going to lose.
And
it came down.
What do you care about the parties? See, now I feel like I was being an a-hole because I didn't know anything about that. I was just noting that he kept saying the next round. And I said, are you not actually not allowed? And now I feel like I was being an a-hole because I was talking about that.
You thought tweet.
You thought you were being an a-hole?
You don't need to think about that.
He smiled, and he said, but no, I would never disrespect my our opponents like that or something.
Mary writes in, and she says, are you watching the Ravens press conferences? The Ravens sure aren't giving Brady his props. Are they trying to get under his skin?
We are not.
Yes. We're watching the Giants, actually, right
we'll
now.
Have you, to,
you're not either.
I'm sure we'll read about it on Twitter if they weren't.
Brooke with a new hairdo today.
Twitter is like.
You went with a little product? I did, too.
Twitter
Kyle
is like
Arrington tattled.
Liked it. You know, they should.
Please tell me he didn't say anything.
No, actually, Jurivati, who, you know how he makes fun of me all the time?
Yes.
PR guy, Michael Jurivati. Oh, you got product. Oh, you got a part today. Oh, what do you got, TV? And he goes, hey, Kyle, look at, what do you think of his hair? And Kyle goes, actually, I think it looks pretty good. And Jurivati wasn't happy.
I heard he wears a thong.
Kyle Arrington?
No, Jurivati.
He's very fashionable. He's
Sting.
He's got a little metro.
He thinks
to
he
him.
Is. He thinks he's very fashionable.
Well, I think he is, too. I mean, he's as close as I would say in the media core or whatever to fashionable.
Yeah. John Rooks here.
Like it.
Nah.
John, how was your show
kinda
yesterday?
Kind of like our producer.
would you say? How was your show? What's the sentiment of the fans? Because I'm getting
He's got microphone issues. That, his headset's not on.
Got a piece of pizza going.
I'm good.
Fans are pretty sure of a win.
Yeah, I think most fans are pretty sure of a win. It was a little bit startling, but I guess I can understand that. And the reason behind that is because our fans are spoiled. Fans have been spoiled for a number of years.
But you would think the last 2 years would have sort of knocked us down to earth a little
bit. I really believe winning the one game that they did this weekend did a lot to
the way they won it.
Yes, right? They won impressively, and it's kind of like, okay, business as usual now.
Back to normal.
So it took 60 minutes to basically erase 2 years, or three, if you will, of playoff disappointment.
Yeah.
All right. What you got on your show? Anything good?
Ryan Mink from Ravens.com.
Oh, sure.
He's going to join us. And then Big E's going to be in the house for a while.
Yeah, Big E.
We'll get into the locker room a little bit and hear from some of the players. There's a lot of guys we're talking today.
Oh, yeah.
He's dead.
So,
yeah.
And then we'll continue looking at whether or not Joe Flacco might be a little bit rattled.
Okay. A-hole just wished me dead.
All right. And then, of course, Pete Shepard at 4 o'clock. His show was blowing up on the email yesterday. So keep it up, guys.
This is his time of year. Now, if they lose, then his time of year ends and he doesn't do it.
We have one more day if they lose on Sunday. Right. Tomorrow will be the last day to hear them.
So the unique Pete Shepard show at 4 o'clock.
He'll be here next week.
The playbook. We'll see you tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.